Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob here, getting you ready for our brand new Big Brother podcast, The Slop, where we're going to talk about all of the nonsense in the world of Big Brother. This podcast is going to have some adult language from things overheard on the live feeds, and then we're also going to be talking about some of the things from the live feeds, even though we're not going to be focused on that. So if you are sensitive to either of those things, especially the spoilers from the live feeds, then be sure to check out this podcast after you watch the episode on Wednesday. Let me quickly thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast before we get into everything. Those are our friends over at rockauto.com. Now, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody. They're reliably low. rockauto.com offers the lowest prices possible. Rather than changing the prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do, RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, or even carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need with a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Rob is a podcast in your How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, and welcome to a brand new podcast that we're going to do on Mondays, all Big Brother season long. It's the podcast to capture all of the nonsense. It's the stupid leftover podcast. We're calling it The Slop. And this is the show where we are going to talk about all of the serious strategy that goes on every single day in the Big Brother house.
I'm kidding.
No, we're going to talk about all of the crazy stuff, the things that are going on that you can't believe are happening here in a Big Brother season. And that's what we're going to do here today. We've got a great show that's jam-packed. We're going to hear from a couple of different guests along the way. Catherine Dunn is going to be calling in about 25 minutes. The WWE's Orion Popola will be here. We'll hear from a bunch of our new voices of the class of 2020. But here with me to co-host the show today, the great Jenny Autumn is here. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, I'm so great. I couldn't be more thrilled that this is my first, you know, in-season coverage experience of Big Brother 22. I thrive in the nonsense and the stupidity. And, you know, Summer of Stein was my favorite Big Brother podcast. And we really needed something to, you know, carry on the legacy of the ridiculousness of this show. There's so much negativity that can be taken in this show. People are very invested emotionally. They can be following the show 24 hours a day, and that can get very intense for people. And I really think it's important to stay in touch with the light side of this ridiculous television program. And so I'm very honored to be a part of the maiden voyage of The Slop.
Yeah, it's episode number one, and I have expect the unexpected here today. But I'm glad you brought up Eric, because I know a lot of people are asking, hey, where's the Summer of Stein? When are we getting the Summer of Stein? And so I would say this show is the spiritual successor to the Summer of Stein, that Eric is going to join us at points over the summer. Whenever Eric has something to say, he's always welcome to join us. But I think that that's the attitude that we're going for here on The Slop.
Yeah, you have to keep it a little bit light. I don't think that slop is particularly light. Definitely not in terms of a diet from what we've heard so far in the house. But I think that this is definitely the podcast that we've needed to fill in the gaps of the coverage of the episodes and all of the, the strategical day-to-day stuff that Taryn covers. I just think that we really need to stay in touch with the nonsense.
Yeah. And this is the show where we're really going to try to capture some of the more lighthearted or insane moments, both from the TV show and things from the live feeds that we may not have covered, and have some different guests that maybe we would not book on a recap to talk about the strategy of the season, and have a lot of fun with people along the way. And of course, this is a very interactive show. We want to hear your questions and your comments. And all week long, as you see slop breaking, use the hashtag SlopRHAP if you have a live feed clip, something that you want to see us talk about this show. And I'll be live every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific to talk about it and have a lot of fun with the Big Brother season. Jenny, how are you enjoying your Big Brother All-Stars experience so far?
Honestly, I feel sometimes when I'm watching the feeds that I'm like watching a live action, like Mad Lib, like Big Brother Mad Lib, where it's like, you know, like insert like Big Brother legend, like talking to other Big Brother legend, like in room filled with ducks or whatever. Like, so it's been very surreal. You know, I think, what are we at, day five? I don't know. I'm not
Sounds
a math
right.
person.
Yeah.
Sure. Five. And every time I watch the feeds, it does feel still a little bit like a fever dream, just because these are all familiar faces. These are all people that I've seen play the game before, and just still coming to terms with the fact that this is actually happening and we're getting to see these, you know, big personalities of the past seasons interacting. It's hard. I'm trying to, and this is why this podcast especially is going to be very important for me. I'm trying to feed the positive and not get wrapped up in, you know, the, exactly. We have to stay crushing it. You know, I want to stay in the positive zone of the season, be grateful. Sorry, I know that's a negative buzzword around here. for the fact that the season is even existing, the fact that we got All-Stars, the fact that we are seeing so many, you know, players that we thought we might never see again play, and really not focus too much on the darker points. So I'm trying to keep my personal experience as positive as possible. So it's very good to at least have, you know, this space to enjoy the fun part. So far it's been good. The two scheduled episodes have been okay, but I will not turn my nose up at any of this. So I'm definitely being very optimistic and positive about this.
Yeah, you know, as excited as we are to have Big Brother back, it's almost like that CBS is doing everything they can to hide the Big Brother from the people that might be wanting to watch it. I mean, this was not the ideal way to launch the show, of that they had the two-hour premiere after Tough as Nails. So they started the two-hour premiere at 9 o'clock with about 20 minutes of Table Maze in a live show. And then you really had to find Big Brother if you wanted to watch it on Sunday night, airing at 10.07 p.m. Eastern after a day of PGA Championship golf.
Standard prime time start, 10.07 Eastern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially because I'm pretty sure that the intended, like going forward, the intended time is 8 o'clock, I think, across the board for the three days a week. So it's been confusing. It's gonna take a little bit for people to figure out what's happening. We obviously skipped the Thursday episode as well. We premiered on a Wednesday. Usually we've done like the two-night premiere, or they do the premiere on the Wednesday and then it continues on the Thursday. We just straight up skipped Thursday and moved right to late Sunday. So it's been a weird start. I don't want to contradict myself, because I said that I want to keep this positive, but I would be like remiss to not mention the competition, coverage, especially in last night's episode. I know you guys covered this in the recap last night, but like a safety suite competition that was a totally uninteresting competition to watch for a viewer. No one really, like, we had arrows pointing to what buttons needed to be pressed. Like, wow, this is very, you know, titillating entertainment for my late Sunday night. But it just went too long. And they're still doing, you know, I think we were all very hopeful that with these seasoned vets that were coming back, that they didn't need as much DR coaching and that we were going to get a little bit more authentic, you know, confessionals in the diary room. And I mean, sometimes it feels natural, but they are still definitely feeding us. Like, we're getting Kacer saying, "Kacer, party of one." Like,
yeah, that's classic Kacer.
Yeah, that's just so Kacer, right? Like, yeah, big party guy, real, you know, real jokester.
I'm kidding.
Just kidding. Just the playing up of like how much that comp mattered when both him and Janelle are allies and they were the only two, like, Kacer's worrying about Janelle possibly beating him. It's like, come on, guys.
What are you going to do? All right, they're shaking off the rust. They're shaking the rust off.
I feel like better now. I got that.
Memphis. Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the crazier things that have been going on. Do you want to touch on that? I feel like that this is, we've so much now has podcasting now incepted Big Brother, where that there are big storylines happening in the Big Brother season about who is podcasting with whom, who doesn't like each other in podcasting. Jenny, is this the start of something, a new amazing direction for Big Brother, or is this Big Brother starting to circle the drain?
Well, I mean, it's bound to happen when pretty much, you know, every house guest of the last couple of years has at least attempted a podcast. So it's going to be a storyline no matter what.
Yes.
Whether they last or not, that is, you know, that
what
varies.
I always say, it's very easy to start a podcast.
Exactly.
Much harder to keep the podcast.
Yes, precisely. So, you know, it's
anybody
such
a star one.
Yeah, you've got a graphic designer friend that'll make you a cute logo, and you've got one episode down the drain. And I mean, Rob, you've been showing us that it's definitely a marathon and not a sprint. So I think the fact that podcasts being discussed, you know, in the house, in terms of people's relationships, I think it's also just a sign of the times. Like, this is not a conversation that we would be having during, you know, like even BB13. Mm-hmm. I would think like that, you know, things were different even just back then. But it's just such a big part of the consumption of the show now, that, you know, people are appearing on other people's podcasts and saying things. It's just the way that, the audience and the alumni interact with the show has changed. So it's weird, but I mean, this is where we're at. We're you know, we're gonna get season 23 podcast wars, or like it's gonna be two teams of like, you know, these people have appeared on this podcast and like these ones will only do a dick at night or something. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Jenny, Daddy Taryn wants to know, who from Big Brother 22 will start a podcast after this season? What podcast are we witnessing being born in front of our eyes?
Okay, well, we have to obviously leave out the people that already have podcasts.
Yes,
so
new podcasts.
New podcasts being formed. I think that Kevin would make a great podcast.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of people that I think would be good, I think I can definitely see it from Kevin. God, can you imagine a world where Enzo has a podcast?
Well, that's the one where I'm out of business. That's the one that does me in. Enzo
has
a podcast.
Yeah, you might need to get someone inside to like mess with his like vocal cords or something, because you get, you might need to know a guy that knows a guy.
Because the live feeders know Enzo is born to podcast because he has stories for days, Jenny, and he has captivated the live feed viewers with many stories from his life, including about some of his past job experience, which includes that Enzo was a crayon salesman.
I mean, we've seen some really strange, you know, job titles on the, you know, the Lower Tyron or whatever. And I didn't know that crayon salesman was even a job. It sounds like a fake bachelor, job title. What, like, I kind of thought Crayola had the crayon industry on lock. And so I have just so many questions about what was the brand. Who are you selling to, Enzo? Are you going into schools?
Well, like, Jenny, I have a clip that we could hear a little bit more about this.
I need more explanation.
Because you would think that crayons, one, sell themselves. You know, people who need crayons, like, they know where to go. And
is Enzo in like a preschool, like, you know, sitting down with the toddlers being like, which one do you like the most? Like, and like, he's taken off the Crayola label of like the competitor, and he's got like whatever Acme, like the Cutco of crayons. It sounds like it was a door-to-door operation.
Yeah,
like, I'm very fascinated that this is even an industry.
Okay, so let's listen in on a clip from the feeds. This is Enzo telling the story of what it was like to be a crayon salesman.
Places. I sold sets of crayons.
No.
You sold.
There's a dude that had a warehouse. I used to go in the morning, pick up my fucking set of crayons, and I used to go sell crayons.
Now, Jenny, before we go back to this, so what do you think was like the interview was like of the guy who has the crayon warehouse? Enzo walks in, wants to be his crayon salesman.
I like a warehouse. Honestly, I'm at the point where I'm like, is this like a euphemism for something? Like, I got this guy, he's got a warehouse of crayons. Like, I just stroll by.
That would make sense. That would make more sense than the real story.
I know. That's why I'm like, I'm struggling to understand how this works.
If this is like some sort of like a Avon Barksdale operation that Enzo is like selling crayons. Hey, anybody need a crayon? Anybody need?
Like, what's rolled up in that? There's wax on one end, and on the other end, what's happening on the inside? I don't know.
Okay. So he would go to the warehouse and pick up the crayons.
Fucking stores, people.
What? I never knew a crayon salesman even existed.
I used to sell crayons. I used to go into like dentist offices, like, yo, you want crayons? I swear to God, yo. Motherfucker sold crayons, yo.
Oh my God.
I did it all, yo. I did it all.
He did it all. Is that's how they get crayons at the dentist's office? That there's a door-to-door crayon salesman or woman
apparently
that comes in and is like, yo, I got crayons for days.
And I got like these weird stickers with, it's a floss with a Forky on it.
Yo.
Like the dentist office is being solicited by all sorts of things.
Yo, I got Highlights magazine, slightly used. They found all the pictures.
How big is the pack? Like, how many colors? Like, I was just looking for more details on how this works. But he was talking about how he would just, like, he apparently was a poor salesman, which might explain why this was a short-lived career of his, because he was talking about just going into buildings and, like, hiding for a while.
Yeah, he was so bad at selling the crayons that he would just, like, go and not even sell anything and just say nobody wanted any of the crayons. I guess he must have been being paid hourly and not by commission.
It has to be, or he just hated the job so much that it wasn't worth it, and he was just trying to get by. Maybe he was in high school and his parents were just forcing him to have a job, but it really didn't matter. And he just was like off doing something for, you know, a few hours.
Jenny, that's a great point, because he doesn't mention whether this was 1982 or last week.
But even in 1982, is crayons, door-to-door crayon sales a thing then? Like, I don't know. It's hard to imagine.
Also, Enzo, in addition to being a crayon salesman, he also impressed the house guests with stories of his work at the nipple factory, which I think got a lot of people to raise an eyebrow. Nipple factory? Enzo talks about his work at the Bayonne Nipple Company.
The nipple company. I used to thread. I was just working with immigrants, you know. Like, I was like just working with immigrants and just threading nipples, awesome. Pipe nipples.
What's a pipe nipple?
It was the Bayonne Nipple Company, yo.
Oh.
The Bayonne Nipple.
The Bayonne Nipple Company, nipple yo.
I mean, I will admit my last Google search was pipe nipple. And so, because I had the same question, you know, I had to listen to that clip several times to even make out what he was saying.
Yes.
Thread nipples. I was like, that sounds painful. Mm-hmm. It apparently is like some sort of like bolt.
Yeah. It's like a pipe fitting.
Anyway.
It's the Bayonne Nipple Company, yo.
So he's got crayon warehouses. He's got nipple factories. Yeah. Like, I really just felt like he was just stringing words together and saying that they were careers.
Yeah, speaking
of
Mad Libs, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Enzo is an improv actor that he has been sent to the house to go and just, like, he's taking suggestions from the crowd, like, whose line is it anyway?
Next, tell us about your career as, like, a pumpkin, like, mascot.
I traded pumpkin stocks, yo. Your boy was on the trading floor. Pumpkin, sell. But then I love the opening to the setup for the Bayonne Nipple Company, because he describes it as
the nipple company. I used to thread. I was just working with immigrants, yo. Like, I was like,
it's just working with immigrants, yo. Somebody check into the hiring practices at the Bayonne Nipple Company. That could be an investigation.
And while they're at it, find out what's going on at the crayon factory.
Okay, at the crayon factory. Okay. All right. Well, if we want to get to the bottom of anything, that we have the great guest here with us to talk about the answers to all of life's mysteries. Of course, you know her from Big Brother 21. And she has a brand new podcast herself called Conspire Away, Bitches. Here is Kat Dunn. Kat, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for the intro.
Kat, so nice to have you here with us. I'm so excited that we're able to finally connect.
Rob.
And we didn't even require any Bayonne Pipe Company nipples.
I got off the show.
Yes.
I'm not even kidding. I had my PR guy contacting, Rob has a podcast, contacting you, contacting Taryn, and be like, hey, like, hold not on. To sound desperate, but she is.
Kat, are you saying that I ghosted you for a podcast?
No, you conspired against me.
That I conspired against you.
The next All Stars is going to have the podcast drama about you too.
No ghosting.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kat. Very excited to talk with you about Big Brother 22. Can you tell us a little bit about the new podcast? What are you doing?
Well, Rob, I'm coming for your brand. I'm doing an analytical breakdown.
Why do you have to say that? Could you just say that I have a new podcast? Why do you have to take me down?
No, I'm kidding. I'm not coming
Julie Chen.
Because someone's going to take me seriously. But I mean, I'm pretty open about, like, I love reading Reddit. And there was this Reddit thread the other day that was talking about all these contestants that are coming out with new podcasts. And like, almost like the way that they were talking about our podcast, we're kind of like, we were trying to like compete against you. And I was like, thank you all for thinking that I have like an analytical mind about the game and that I could like possibly like even like touch what Rob is doing, but like it's completely different.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be so many like analytical background or analytical game talk and whatever. I'll try my best, but it's more just going to be kind of like, I guess it's going to appeal to more of the casual viewers because of course I am, you know. I think that might be my crowd, but talking about, I don't know, like all about the contestants in the house, what's going on the show, like a very surface level, but every podcast that I've talked on, I've directed everybody to you for the analytical game talk.
Well, I appreciate that, Kat. And I have no smoke with other podcasts. As long as the only thing that annoys me is that when other podcasts like want to have a war, which I find very annoying. So as long as everybody wants to play nice, I like that.
You know what we should do?
If it's have a war, I'm out.
No, well, it's similar. Okay. Have you ever played Sequester?
Yes.
We should get all of the Big Brother podcasters together and play a game of Sequester.
Okay. Well, we got to wait till the off season for that, Kat.
No, now we don't have time.
And it would be a big mess. That would be the worst night of Sequester of all time. And there would be so much drama. Podcasters love drama.
We really do. Conspiracy. And that's the other thing that my podcast talks about is, of course, a little bit of conspiracy talk here and there. And I'm going to also do like Twitter conspiracies and Reddit conspiracies and things like that.
So, Kat, do you talk about real conspiracies like Area 51 and stuff like that in real life or just Big Brother stuff?
Oh, well, right now, since the Big Brother season just started, it's pretty much all Big Brother. Because I also know that pretty much everyone that is following me are from Big Brother. They want to hear about Big Brother. So I know my audience, and also I'm living and breathing it too. So it is easy. But for instance, I just had Andy Heron on that. I'm going to release this podcast later today. And we were talking about Big Brother, but from that Big Brother talk that we were having stemmed the conspiracy of human cloning, which actually is real. And also the Kardashian witch theory. So I find a way to work conspiracies into everything.
Okay, good.
Is the Kardashian witch theory related to Andy's theory about Nicole being a witch and them both being witches?
You've heard that? You've heard his theory too?
Yeah, he's talked about it on Twitter. Anyway, I hope that he delves into it more on your podcast because it's fascinating.
Okay. Kat, were you upset last night when Kaser basically came along and just completely ripped off your thing? Here's Kaser in the episode last night.
And I want to send a message to the rest of the house that I'm here to play and that they should beware the next time they conspire against me.
Yeah.
I love that.
You loved it. That was an homage to you.
My impact. I know how diary room stuff works though, because I could just picture before I got excited that Kaser knew who I was and was a fellow conspiring bitch. I feel like I know how the diary room goes, and they were probably like, "Oh, so are you saying that the contestants are conspiring against you?" And then he'd be like, "Yeah, I guess." And then they'd be like, "Okay, well then say it like that." So I think that it was more of maybe, I don't know, maybe it wasn't his words. Maybe they were kind of, we'll see.
Okay.
I don't know if he's a Kat Dunn fan yet.
Kat, could we talk about some of the conspiracies about Big Brother 22? Could we get into some of this?
Yes, but don't get me in trouble with CBS.
Okay, I'm not going to get you in trouble with CBS. And you do that on your own, right? You don't need my help.
I haven't gotten in trouble, but I'll be honest. Because I don't know. I mean, I feel like I just like do whatever. And they haven't told me otherwise. But for a while there, I like, you know, with all the All-Star talking, I was like, well, I haven't gotten a call for All-Stars. I was like, maybe they hate me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I did something to piss them off.
That's a good point. Why didn't they call you? I thought, because I watched last season, I said production loves Kat. They want her as an All-Star. Kat's going to be an All-Star. I thought that last summer.
Oh, my gosh. Rob, I'm not an All-Star. I'm funny, I think.
Hey.
But I'm not
Kat,
at all. Like,
the guy who was the first person out on your season is back.
Well, yes. The whole David coming back as an All-Star thing, I view completely differently as probably even, I guess CBS does. But I think it's really interesting how he brings a different gameplay type perspective to the game. He's the only one that hasn't ever played in a comp. He hasn't ever cast a vote to evict.
Yeah. I get the reason to bring it. But we want to talk about you, though. We want to talk about you. Why didn't they call you, Kat?
Because I'm not an all-star. I don't know what to tell you. Wait, I tried.
Wouldn't Kat be a great fit for all-stars?
You're a star. I mean, it seems like a slam dunk to me. And I think that there's just been so much stupid debate over like what constitutes an all-star. And they even kind of tried to explain that in like the package last night, where they were like, oh, some of them were winners and some of them did well and some of them deserve a second chance. And it's just like, you can package whatever you want and say it's an all-star. They should be bringing back anyone that they think is going to be entertaining, is memorable, and I just feel like that Kat makes that's an obvious choice from last season, and that is not to throw any shade on the two that are returning. So I don't know. I thought that it would have been an obvious choice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, you know, I am under contract CBS for 2 years, so CBS, if you want me, I'm here. But I guess to toot my own horn a little bit, since I got off the show, I mean, of course, I'm open about being a recruit, and I just never watched the show. I never watched TV. So for 3 months, I binged as much as I could. I studied as much as I could, and I did the best that I could as being in the position that I was in. But while I was playing the game, I fell in love with it. And then getting off the game, I did even more research, and I haven't stopped that momentum since. So right now, I feel like I know so much more about gameplay, about strategy, and I don't necessarily wish that, like, I don't regret going on when I did, because I don't think that it would have led me to being as knowledgeable as I am now, I guess. But I do wish that sometime, maybe it'll be 14 years from now and I can be the next Kacer coming back. But, I hope that I do get another second chance sometime, because I would love to actually go in as a game player.
Kat, I have a conspiracy theory.
What?
You must have somewhere along the way pissed off Nicole Franzel. Is that what happened? Did she ask to be on your podcast and you ghosted her?
No, she ghosted me.
She ghosted you for real?
Well, not really, kind of. Okay, so I actually went on her podcast and it went really well. Because you know, the summer I was doing Instagram Lives.
I subscribe. I see them pop up.
Thanks. So when we were all under quarantine because of COVID, and of course the Big Brother season was pushed back, I really wanted to do something to bring a smile to the Big Brother fandom and community, because everyone wants to talk about Big Brother and see their favorite players and whatnot. So I started doing Instagram Lives every night, where I would go live for about an hour every night with some of their favorite former house guests, which I got to meet so many interesting people. And now it's like so cool, because I'm like, man, like, my friend Janelle is on Big Brother 22. So it's like, it's kind of cool. But I asked Nicole to go on my live one night and she said no.
Okay.
Is it possible she knew that she was in contention for the show?
No. Yeah.
And there's that's why she didn't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that said no. And they never said straight up no. It was more her excuse, which I got. Like, I'm not going to be like, going to have bad words. Her excuse was she had already turned down a couple of podcast opportunities to guest on. So it would have looked rude if she like turned that down and then went on my live.
That's the thing, because it used to be like a very long time ago, like there was not like a lot of podcasts. So then if people would be like, oh, you want me to be on a podcast? Now it's like, oh, another podcast.
I love it.
Yeah, that's why I was so happy when you said yes so quickly, Kat, because I'm not used to people jumping to want to be on a podcast anymore.
Really? Man. Well, then I really got late in the game.
Yeah.
No, I think it's like, I mean, honestly, as cheesy as this sounds, and I don't know, take this how you will, but it is an honor to be on Rob Has a Podcast, because you really are. I think on Apple Podcasts, you're the number one in TV and film.
Yeah, come on. So we're not here to talk about me.
No, but it's like you are like the elite.
This is like Kevin in the diary room with Cody. Come on.
I know. Yes. No, but it's true. So it's actually pretty, I don't know. Like, it's like, it's very humbling to me, I guess, if you will. Like, knowing that, like, I'm so grateful that, grateful with an H, that the brother community accepted me and, like, wants to hear what I have to say. And I don't know, because it could have gone in a whole different direction.
Sure, you know. Sure. Kat, let's talk a little bit about the nominees here this week, because it was a year ago and change that you found yourself on the block in week number one. And you came out with the, hey, I think I'm just going to play into this, of you pop into the room and say, hey, are you bitches conspiring against me? Can you talk a little bit about that position of being on the block in week one, like how Kevin and Keisha are facing that same prospect here in this season?
Yeah, it's tough being on the block first out, because, well, at least in a normal season, everyone's going on first impression. So when you decide to put two people on the block, unless it's an easy out, like, oh, you were the first two people to drop, or like, oh, you were whatever. Like, it is a little bit of a personal jab, I guess. So I don't know. I understand that I am, I guess, like a hard personality to take sometimes, and I am kind of hard to read. So I was, of course, offended that I came in and then was on the vlog, because I was like, what do you mean they don't like me? Like, I'm great. But it worked out. So, you know, whatever. But this is different because everyone is coming in, whether you believe that they pre-gamed or not. Everyone does have pre-existing relationships and friendships. And everyone knows, unless you're David, everyone knows who each other are. So they kind of know their game plan. They know what they're capable of. So it's not necessarily like a personal jab to put two people up on the block right now. However, if I was HOH, which,
yes,
Cody would, if I was HOH of an all-star season and I was Cody, I feel like if he, like, putting up Janelle and Kacer, which was his original plan, makes sense because they're very, very obviously a duo. But the other best move would have been to put up Nicole Franzel and Ian and be like, y'all are the only two returning winners, and I don't want to compete with all you winners, so one of you has to go. Mm-hmm. But I know that Cody's obviously not going to put Nicole up, but so I don't know. I guess his, like, Keisha Kevin pick was a little bit random. I don't know.
Okay. Kat, does Keisha need a, are you bitches conspiring against me of her own? Does she need something that people really are able to latch on to her and say, oh, Keisha's so much fun? We need, does she need to bring back the, anybody want cake?
Oh my gosh. Y'all, by the way, that scene, because of course I'm a newbie, but I had just watched it when I found out, embarrassingly enough, that Keisha was going to be on the season. And it was hilarious. Like, I was so jealous of the drama that came with that whole scene that I was like, man, I really did sell myself short. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, it honestly depends. I feel like I love that Davon is on this season because she brings humor. She brings the one-liners and the diary room sessions that are hilarious. And, like, we need that. But at the end of the day, like, I do get a lot of flack for being that person that everyone's like, she just came in with a catchphrase and that's all she was interested in. So I guess, like, I would love to have
flack, Kat.
Is
that went from when you read on Reddit?
Yeah, well, I don't know. People tweet me stuff like that all the time. I don't care. But I mean, at the end of the day, I am making T-shirts about it, so they're not exactly wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I found that Big Brother fans, they don't like the necessarily, and I'm not saying that I did this on purpose. It's really just my personality. But, you know, like the pandering to the cameras, having one-liners, stuff like that. But I don't know.
Some of them do. It's just the people that don't like it are very vocal. They're very loud. Look, but I think that, I mean, there's always people that enjoy what they're getting when someone is trying to make good television and is conscious of the fact that this is still a TV show and they need to make it interesting and entertaining.
I actually didn't, and I know no one believes me. No one does. But I really wasn't saying that to make good TV. I didn't think that they would even let me say the word bitches on TV. But
now you have a podcast that says it.
I'm trying to destigmatize the word bitch.
Okay, well, good luck.
No, as far as Keisha goes, I don't know. I mean, I'll also be honest. Keisha does not, and maybe this is why, maybe because she hasn't really brought a little bit of spice into the game. Because I see that she's so loved on Twitter and Reddit, but I'm not emotionally attached to her at all. And honestly, Kevin brought a little bit more to the episode last night. We saw a little bit more of his heart. So now I think I'm rooting for him a little bit more. But Keisha, I'm kind of like, if she leaves for me, and don't, Keisha stands, don't shoot me for this. I don't think that she's really brought that much to the storyline yet that I'm really sad to see her go. Is that bad?
Kat, now are you worried that, now you said that you don't think that Keisha brought a lot to the story. Are you worried that now when Keisha gets out of the house, she won't come on your podcast? Have you considered changing up what you say about people to make sure they want to come on your podcast soon?
No, I'm not trying to talk shit about her. And honestly, it's probably not her fault that here I'm saying, what I said out of context sounds a little rude. I'm not saying that she doesn't bring a lot to the TV, and that's not to the show. That's not her fault by any means. But she was barely showed on last night's episode. Yeah. So that's not her fault. That's production's fault. So that's them that need to build up a storyline to get me invested in the characters, because they did a great job getting me invested in Kevin. Because if you would have asked me before last night's episode who I wanted to see go, I would have been like, well, I'm not really emotionally attached to Kevin or Keisha. And now I'm kind of like, maybe I want Kevin to stay. But
yes,
plot twist.
Yeah. Yes, Kat.
Kevin was talking to Nicole last night, and he's talking about, for whatever reason, he wants to target Janelle and Kacer, even though Cody put him on the block, but whatever. So now, because of that, for a gameplay reason, I want him to go, but we'll see.
How did you become so close to Janelle? From Instagram?
I don't want to say we're close, but...
you said she's your best friend.
I said that?
I thought so. I thought you said that earlier.
Right. Oh, she's my best friend, but we can start that rumor. We text, and actually she texted me. I texted her when they were in quarantine, because everyone knew that Janelle was going to be on. So I texted her, hey, good luck on BB22. And then she texted me back, like, I'm not doing the show, Kat. And I was like, wow, did I just get inside information that she got kicked off?
Yeah.
But she's lying to me.
conspiring against you.
But from Instagram. Okay. And we are, I don't know if you believe in astrology.
Oh, well, we have the expert here, Jenny.
That's my thing.
Go ahead, tell us.
Go, okay. Yeah, I want to hear this.
So Janelle's birthday is January 8th, 1980, and mine's January 9th, 1990. So we are 10 years and one day apart, but we're both the same Capricorn pretty much.
Have you looked at your chart in comparison to hers? Because it's very possible you have more than just your sun sign in common. I'm going to look it up after, and we can. I'll let you know how much in common you have with Janelle.
Wow. Yeah.
I can find the whole thing.
I love that.
Well, even more if you know when you were born, but even just knowing the date and where you're born, I can see what you and Janelle have in common besides just that. And, you know, I saw on your Twitter the side-by-side of you chugging the wine and Janelle, getting a little drunk in the BB house. So
grand version.
There's parallels.
Mm-hmm. maybe that's why I didn't get cast for the show. They were like, we already have Janelle, and they're so much alike. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But maybe they robbed us of that. We needed to see the two of you pair up. It was
I would have followed her around. I would have been her little bitch. I just think that she's great. And I don't know. I would have done everything. She would have been the puppet. I should have been the puppet master, and I would have been like a little puppet. So,
yeah.
She would have been the raven.
I would have been the puppet master. Kat, but I would love to just hear a little bit more, if you could, about these conspiracies, about all of the casting that went on and all of the different players that were starting rumors. Do you hear about all of these things? Is there a Big Brother alumni text chain that you keep updated? Can you tell us anything about this?
I wouldn't say that there's a text chain by any means, but I don't know. Once you get off the show, there's some people from the show that I'm closer with than people from my season. So I like hear murmurings here and there, but as far as the pre-gaming thing goes, I heard about it from Evil Dick, actually, and he tweeted about it too.
Yeah. But he's that, like, the hub of like all of the like the people. Everybody talks to him, and then he goes on Twitter and tells the fans everything, right?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if he's necessarily always right about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, because there was a while that he was convinced that I was on Big Brother, and he was like, "Why aren't you telling me that you're on?" I was like, "Because I'm not." So I don't know. So I feel like,
and you have to tell him, right?
Or then he tells everybody
to vote you out.
No, I can't. Well, maybe I can't keep a secret. If they like before I went on my season of Big Brother, I think I was so shocked that I didn't get leaked. Because I told so many people, and I get excited and I can't just like keep it to myself. So
get leaked though, Kat? I thought that did happen.
Yeah. I thought you leaked yourself.
I thought you and Holly, got leaked or something. Am I remembering this wrong?
Maybe, but that was before or right after I went to, sequester. But what happened was, Alex Kidwell, who now I know him and it's funny, but I didn't know who he was at the time.
Yes, yes.
And I was always like searching Twitter for like.
He was very tapped in.
Yeah. And, but he had tweeted something about how he saw the cast list and he was very like, you know, very un. Like not, you know, not excited about it, like whatever. And then he made the comment about like there was an aspiring influencer on there.
Oh.
And I thought that was hilarious. So then I took that saying, aspiring influencer, whether he was talking about me or not, and ran with it. And then I name dropped that in my Jeff interview because I thought it'd be funny. And everyone thought I was serious.
Oh, this is from Big Brother 21.
Yeah.
Okay. This isn't even like that you were leaked for this season. You leaked yourself for last season.
Well, I didn't mean, I don't leak. I don't
you
know.
Talked about yourself, yes.
People talk.
Yes.
The other thing, and I feel like this was CBS absolutely trolling me, I'm sure y'all saw, the merch reveal that they did.
What did they do?
And so they.
Oh, they have the logo, yeah.
So, and also people think, people say that it's some like intern that's messing up and whatever. This is, I feel like this was so planned
conspiracy.
By CBS.
Yeah.
Conspiracy, but they leaked the merch of Big Brother All Stars one random morning, and Big Brother fans saw it and were screenshotting it. We're saying it's confirmed, it's All Stars because the leak, right. Whatever. We had a customizable key luggage tag on there, and the name that they put on the key was Catherine, which my name Catherine is spelled kind of weird. It's Khryn, so it's a little bit of a unique name, but they use that name for the key, and I was like, CBS is. Conspiring against me and everybody else.
So this is the biggest conspiracy maybe you've ever uncovered. And the conspiracy is this. The CBS network doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They don't get things wrong. Everything is intentional.
I believe so. Or, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Why?
No, I just said that. I think that people a lot of times they say, oh, the interns, oh, not paying attention. Yeah. You say no. They actually... are doing it on purpose. Everything is planned.
I think so. I mean, my one of my biggest role models in life is Kris Jenner. I'm kidding. No, but it's the Kardashian. It's like the Kardashian.
There's
marketing.
No accidents in the Kardashian world.
Exactly. Well, and there might be a leak, or that there might be something, but it always is propelling them towards something bigger because people are talking about it and whatever. So
yes.
It's. More people are going to talk about a CBS intern accidentally leaking the All-Star merch more than they would talk about, like, hey, by the way, it's All-Stars, because it makes it more scandalous and it makes it more like, oh, I shouldn't be talking about this,
they're
but
smart.
I am. Yeah.
They know what they're doing. All right. Kat, I have a caller on the line who has a question for you. Let's bring in Josh Mendelson. One of our new voices here in 2020 has a question for Kat. Let's bring on Josh. Josh, how are you?
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. Hi, Queen Kat. How are you?
Hi, Queen Josh.
Oh, this is awesome. I just have to say, you are the queen, and you need to like fully give yourself the credit for it. Like, the reason I love
credit.
Good. I love that. No, you were so organic throughout the entire house, and you learned how to play on your own, and it was just so fascinating. I loved it.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
You're welcome. I'm a huge fan. So I want a t-shirt.
Yeah. Which one?
I want an inspiring bitch t-shirt. I'm like, yeah, I'm
I already got those. Wait, no. Okay. Shoot me a message.
I will. I'll send
I'm your people. All my people.
Okay. I want to be your people. There you go. So I have a question. So as a fellow conspiring bitch,
yes.
I want to know what you think the true credentials of being a head conspiring bitch of the house is. And I want to know who you think is doing the best job of it in the house currently.
Well, it depends on if it's like the right conspiracies or the wrong conspiracies. Because I'll be honest, Nicole Anthony is doing a lot of conspiring right now. And it's like she's conspiring herself into a frenzy. And
Frenzel?
It's like, no, she's conspiring herself into a frenzy. And I know why. It's because last season, you know, where she got this time, like first, second week of BB21, she was working with Nick and Bella, and they completely just threw her under the bus. So I get why she doesn't necessarily think that Janelle and Kacer were genuinely wanting to work with her. But like, I just want to shake her and be like, stop thinking that much. Like, stop conspiring against yourself. But she was conspiring a lot, but she needs to be redirected.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as who...
Well, Kat, could you talk a little bit more about Nicole Anthony and how she's doing this season?
I don't like jinxing. I don't want to jinx her.
You feel like she's doing very well.
Okay. So when I heard that Nicole was going to be on, immediately I was thinking, oh, and also in like the first like night of the feed, second day, I was like, she's obviously going to make at least top five, if not top three again, because she's such a nice, person. And I think that sometimes, of course, in our season, which me and Jess would talk about all the time, and I've gotten completely blasted for it, is we had a hard time trusting her, because when you're in the house, you second guess people's intentions and you second guess why they're saying the things that they do. Or are they really wanting to align with you, or what is like, what's the big picture? And then come to find out she was genuine, jokes on us. But then everyone that's in that house watched Nicole Anthony play. So they know that who she is in the house is very congruent with who she is on the outside of the house. So why would they get rid of someone who they know is genuine, who they know is to be trusted? And of course, I feel like as just human nature, you want to help the people that you know that you've seen, you want to see them succeed, and you know her intentions and they're all pure. So I was thinking, oh, she's going far. But then I don't know. I just get nervous now because I think that she's overthinking everything. And I feel like she could have easily latched onto that Janelle and Kacer group, and they would have been her shield, and she would have, you know, gone along with them, and that would have been an awesome trio. But then I don't know. She just, I don't, sometimes she, like last night she had a conversation with Kevin where Kevin was talking about how he wanted to target Janelle and Kacer, and she said, oh, I respect that. I like that. And I don't know if she was just saying that to go along with the conversation or if she really meant it, but I was like, Nicole, I have to, like, I can't, I have to get my megaphone and like go outside the CBS lot. But I don't know. But I don't blame her, because she worked with Nick and Bella last season, and they completely threw her under the bus. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she's going to do good. I think what.
But that's the other thing, is I also don't want to jinx her. I don't know.
Let's not.
So I still have her in my top.
Let's send the bad energies to the other Nicole.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't think Nicole Franzel is going to get far at all.
Okay, no. Tell us about that. Why not? Doesn't she have a lot going on? Doesn't she have a lot set up so far?
Didn't she pick this cast? Isn't that the conspiracy?
Yeah. If she, who knows? I feel like with Nicole, it's same thing as I said with Nicole Anthony, is Nicole Anthony, like, okay, well, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but y'all know, in every other season, everyone is coming in completely blind to everyone else in the house. You can be whoever you want to be. You can adopt whatever kind of personality you want and just ride with it for the rest of the season. Because nobody knows. Nobody knows your background or where you're from or what you're really like in the real world. There's not the outside biases playing in. I think that this is something that's going to not benefit Nicole Franzel so much because I don't have a problem with her, even though I'm really nervous now because I've verbalized this so many times. She's probably going to have a problem with me when she gets off, but okay.
Going back on the Coco Caliente podcast.
But I'm not saying anything that's not true. I mean, she does have the reputation of being a snake and playing a snaky game and being a girl that's not for other girls. And she even confirmed that this year when she told Cody that she was going to form an all-girl alliance and then tell him everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, so she has a reputation that everyone knows. And I think that this is going to give everyone a red flag about her and every HOH that besides Cody or besides, she seems to be pretty close with Danny as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like everyone's going to have that in the back of their head.
Kat, this is all super informative. So you are very tight with Janelle. You called her your best friend. Nicole Franzel has said that Janelle is spreading rumors about her. Did Janelle ever say to you, hey, you know who I don't care for? Nicole Franzel.
Me and Janelle she's never talked shit about me to anyone. I wish I was on that level with her, but maybe when she gets back.
She'll tell you the real stories.
But it does seem in the house that Janelle seems pretty unbothered by Nicole. Like, I think Janelle says her snarky things here and there, which is so relatable. But Nicole is like always has Janelle's name in her mouth, and it's always like she's a threat, she's a danger. We have to get her out. But it seemed to be at least on I think it was like I know day two, Janelle seemed very secure that her and Nicole were good. And then Nicole's kind of going to Janelle. But the other thing about Nicole coming in, not only with her reputation that from the other seasons, is if Nicole said something interesting last night that she knew about the rumors about her getting her pre-gaming and getting other people kicked off and whatever. I was kind of assuming that maybe that whole mess happened after they already had their phones taken away. But if she knew about it, then maybe other house guests know about it too, which is going to, of course, start paranoia in their brains because then they're going to think like, wait, so Nicole, like so-and-so is against Nicole or Nicole's already with this person. And they're going to,
so
I don't
Kat,
know. Just,
is the conspiracy that somebody started the rumor that Nicole Franzel is getting people kicked off the season? Or is the conspiracy Nicole Franzel is kicking people off the season?
My conspiracy is that I don't think CBS would ever pick Nicole Franzel over Dan Giesling and Derek Lavasser. I mean, is that wrong? Like, because Dan Giesling
Are
is like
serious.
Wait, why?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot. I mean, yeah, we agree. Yeah, we're with you. We're with you.
I feel like you're trolling me now.
No, I'm not trolling. That of course that CBS would rather have Dan and Derek on a season than Nicole.
I feel like you're trolling me.
Do you feel like I would have the opposite opinion that they would rather have Nicole back than Dan or Derek?
I don't know. Is there something I'm missing?
I'm agreeing with you. You're being too paranoid. Too many conspiracies.
Like week one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that they would rather have her back over them. I don't know. And of course, I guess the thing is that they kicked off Dan and Derek for pregaming, but the rumor also has that there was a lot of people pregaming. And I don't know.
They kicked people off for pregaming with COVID-19. If you were pregaming with COVID-19, they said, you're out.
You're good for COVID-19. But if you have both.
No, yeah, both is bad. Both is bad.
Okay. I actually thought, Kat, I thought you'd be on it for a second.
Y'all are just blowing smoke up my butt. Y'all, okay, I will say, I feel like I'm pretty socially aware sometimes. Sometimes.
Yeah.
If I was on this season, BB Twitter, BB everything would be dragging me. I would be the one that they'd be like, what? Like, why is she on? Who does she think she is? So I'm kind of glad because I love hearing again, now it's kind of making everyone think like, oh, you should have been on, which if I was actually on, people would have had a field day with that.
But Kat, there's always people. That is the beauty and the curse of BB Twitter is that there's always people dragging everybody, but then there's also always the stan accounts. So even if you feel like people would be saying like, why is she here? Drag her. There would be someone with at Catherine Dunn's with a Z or something. It would be Josh Mendelsohn
every day
running it.
And I would be like sending you tweets every day at Queen Cat with memes, like on a daily, maybe hourly basis.
But a perfect example is like I feel like all year after Big Brother 21, I saw so many things about people saying like, oh, I want David Alexander to get another chance. I want him to get a shot at the game again, bring him back. All of this talk about him coming back. So they bring him back, and then all of a sudden the conversation shifts from they were rooting for him to come back to now, wait, why is he back? And I get that it's an all-star season, so it's different, but it's kind of like, okay, people, like, it's almost like it's that underdog mentality that you want to root for the underdogs. So I don't know. So anyway, but that's a whole other thing. But I appreciate you saying that. I personally think I might have gotten eaten alive, but I would have been Danelle's puppet for a good couple weeks before I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the fans would have loved you then. That's the fans are very happy for anyone who is working with Janelle. So you would have been in a really good spot.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, thank you so much for calling in, okay?
Thank you guys so much, Kat. I will hit you up.
Bye, Josh.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. Kat, could you tell us a little bit about David on this season? We touched on him earlier, talking about him coming back, but did David reach out to you, to Kat? Can you give me any advice that if I'm going to come back into this season, did he try to reach out to you with any questions about Big Brother?
I don't think I'm the go-to to answer questions about Big Brother. Mm-hmm. maybe someday. But no. So me and David actually, it's kind of sad because him and I were so close on our season.
Yes.
And then we got evicted, and then
some
for whatever
people were
reason,
shipping you guys.
I know, Cavid was a thing.
Yes.
But then for whatever reason, when we got out of the house, we just didn't really have that. Like, I guess because, you know, different place in life. He had already been out of the house for a couple weeks, you know, it just like wasn't really something that we necessarily, I guess, like continued. He wasn't really someone that I talked to often. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while we keep in touch, but it's not like he's like been, I'm not going to be that person that's like, he's my best friend, because that's Janelle. No, but I don't know. So we don't really talk that often. So I don't think he would have reached out to me anyway. But we are friends on Snapchat. So my big
okay.
That's the ultimate friendship app.
Yes, yes.
No, but my big giveaway for when I knew, confirmed that he was on All Stars was, I think when he thought that I was on All Stars, because there was some rumors about that, I did notice that he was Snapchatting me more, and like he was a little bit more like in my life, I guess. Nothing crazy. He wasn't pre-gaming, but you know, I did notice that like the Snapchats were more, I don't know. But so then I Snapchatted him when they were supposedly like in sequester, and he didn't open my Snapchat, and his Snapchat score didn't go up, which I'm convinced all of this talk about people that were like, oh, they haven't posted on Instagram in this long, or they haven't tweeted in this long. Like, that doesn't matter because people are running those accounts. Go to Snapchat. And that's what really shows who's here and who's not.
So yeah. Kat, I have a potential conspiracy then here. Do you believe that perhaps, you know, a lot of people felt like David was robbed? And do you think that CBS basically said, like, listen, this was an unfortunate, you know, exit for you. Let's not talk about the Photoshop. We did you dirty there as well. But you've got a basically a free pass to the next time we bring back returnees, because there's been lots of people that, you know, and I'm not going to give any credit to what people might say, especially on the BB Twitter streets, but people have been like, why is Christmas back? And why is David, these are not All Stars. And so there's been conspiracies about, you know, when Christmas hurt her or broke her foot or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, was stuck on pain meds and a scooter for the rest of the season, that they were like, listen, just stick around for now and we'll bring you back. Do you think that maybe happened with David, and that's maybe why he was kind of laying low after the season, because he was anticipating coming back?
Yes and no. So I know Christmas is a great example of somebody who, if she wasn't on this season, I feel like a lot of people would be like, oh, you know who they should have brought back? Christmas, because she broke her foot. And, you know, like, but now she's on. And nobody. No, nobody. I'm just saying that maybe if she wasn't on, it would have put her in that underdog position. I'm just saying that people like to root against the people that are, you know what I mean? Or maybe, I don't know. Anyways, but whatever. So I actually personally love the fact that Christmas is back and that we do get to see her play without her pain meds and without her boot and her scooter. But I think I don't think that CBS would have offered her that because they let her, because she stayed all the way till third place. And once you make top five, you get, or at least for our season, you get incentives. Like, I mean, it's like they really advertise the $500,000 and then $500,000 or $500,000 and $50,000. But third, second, or I can't even talk. I'm bad at numbers. Third, fourth, and fifth also get a prize incentive as well. Yeah. So Christmas banked. I mean, she still was able to go to the end. She played the game, and whether it was her game that she wanted to play or not. But I just think that her story as a whole adds a very interesting dynamic to the All-Star season, similar to David's in a way, except for she has played. But David, however, so here's my conspiracy on David. So him and I did an Instagram Live, and when I was talking to him about, like, what's going on with you? Like, what are you doing after COVID? What's your next goal? What's your next whatever? He seemed very misguided, if that's the right word. Because I remember I was with my best friend, Anthony, and when we hung up, I was like,
I thought Janelle was your best friend.
Other best friend.
Okay, got it. No, your best friend, not Nicole Anthony.
Anthony. But, and I remember talking to him and being like, man, it just seems like David is a little bit lost right now. Like, he wasn't talking about what his upcoming plans are. It didn't sound like he really was doing anything. And I was a little concerned. But now, looking back on it, and then also seeing how he was answering my question about All Stars, and I think he even said something, it's on my YouTube channel. It was even something like, he was like, yeah, like, I would love, like, I do think it's going to be, or something about All-Stars, but he's like, I think it's going to be a really good cast. But it was, like, kind of weird. So in hindsight, I was like, man, I think he kind of knew the whole time, which makes sense why he wasn't answering questions about his next big project, next goal, whatever. This was back in... it was okay because we did a special prom Instagram Live episode, so it was around like prom time, so like May 18th or so, I think.
Well, because some people have been saying that they got calls like several months ago. I think Kevin said that he got called in April, which is
I heard they made their first call in March.
That's crazy. So that's definitely, I think that they're legs.
Yeah. Kat, you talked about some of your Instagram Lives that I know you did a very controversial Instagram Live once with Zach Rantz, that this was, it went viral. And Zach Rantz had a lot of his own conspiracies. First off, do you feel like that cost Zach Rantz a chance to come back onto the Big Brother All-Stars? And yes, go ahead.
I heard that they still called him.
They still called him.
I don't know. My source is reputable, but I don't know how reputable. Like, in this case, I don't know how reputable. But someone told me that he got called back. Because even I was like,
no.
And he said no. But even when I was talking to my friend, I was like, but not my best friend. It wasn't Janelle. But when I was talking to my friend about it, I was like, are you serious? They called him back after all that stuff that he said. And he was like, oh, he's like, CBS does not care. Which is crazy because I was like, I'm about to get thrown into a lawsuit.
Do we know what his relationship status is with regard to Nicole Franzel? Is there possibly an explanation for why he got a call and is somehow still not on this season?
I heard that he got a call and said no. Also, which I know a lot of people, and myself included, I feel like anyone that got the call for All Stars would go back. I mean, if someone says no, it's like, okay, come on. Like, Even I remember even like Tyler said no, and your Tyler is. It's like, yes, like you can't not take that opportunity. Like, I think that he just said it to like throw me off, but whatever. I don't know. But with Zach, he does seem so hurt by this, whatever he thinks that CBS conspired against him for. But not only that, I think he also talked about a lot of mental health struggles that he had after the show.
Yeah. Not for anything. That, if anything, the conspiracy was they wanted Zach Rantz to win. That nobody on the production, Big Brother 16, was conspiring to make Zach Rantz lose. They wanted to do whatever they could to keep him.
Yeah, I can't speak for Zach because Zach and I are close. I've talked to him twice on my Instagram Live and then one time after as well. Mm-hmm. So I cannot speak for him. So don't quote me on this. But what I'm assuming is going on is I think he had told me that after he got off the show, he was like, he experienced that whole like stardom, that how it feels to be off of a reality show. You know, it's cool. People are recognizing you and people are following you.
Start a podcast.
Yeah, you could start a podcast.
Yeah.
But realistically, that dies after a couple months. And if not, like, and it dies after a year. And I think that some people that aren't set up for that kind of, I guess, turbulence, if you will, it throws them for a loop. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, what do you mean these people aren't my fan anymore? Like, what do you mean I don't have Stan? All the Stan accounts are changing their names? Like, what?
Yeah, they change, right? Who are the cat Stan accounts? What did they change to? Do they still get to keep any of them?
No, but it's funny because I love my Stan account. They're all they're all like 13 years old or like, you know, they're all in high school. So they're so sweet. So I try to reach out to them as much as I can. So a lot of them apologized to me when they changed their profile pictures. I was like, it's fine. But
What do they say? That, dear Kat, I just want to let you know I'm now Nicole Franzel Stan account.
No, they haven't been.
Who are they? Are they all changed to the same person?
No. No, it's different. So my number one Stan account, her name's Emmy. I love her to death. She's 13 years old. A lot of the things that I do online, I keep her in mind because I want to be a good role model for her, which I hopefully I am. Yeah. But she is really stanning Danny Donato.
Oh, like Jenny does.
Yeah. Great take. Oh, yeah.
Jenny, did you have a cat Stan account last summer that you changed to Danny?
No, the only, and I wasn't even a Danny Stan account. It was just a Big Brother Twitter account with Danny's picture.
Oh, okay.
I don't do Stan accounts, but Kat, you are very Stanable.
The other person that a lot of them are Stanning, which that's why I'm so, I guess, apologetic whenever I say I don't Stan Keisha, is a lot of my Stans also went over to Keisha.
Oh, okay. So you'll get them back soon, maybe.
No,
they'll come back to you.
Yeah, no, they're not coming back to me. Unless
or they'll switch to Danny. Yeah.
They'll come back to me 14 years later when they have me back for All Stars 3.
Kat, let me ask you one more question about your podcast. So your brand new podcast, Conspire Away Bitches, do you host it by yourself or do you have a co-host?
I host it by myself.
See, that's so smart. That's so smart. Because then when you go back and play Big Brother, what if somebody on the season doesn't like your co-host?
Can you believe that? I'm okay.
It's like picking a running mate.
I try. I don't want to say this because I'll be honest. Nicole Franzel has been nothing but nice to me, except for when she ghosted me on my Instagram Live. I'm kidding. But she's been nothing but nice to me. So I really came in and I heard the rumors and I wanted so badly to like have them not be true. But that's really hard when she sits on a bed with Danny Donato and they're talking about how, or they're laughing about how they both ghosted Nicole on her podcast. And then later.
That's very hurtful, right? As a podcaster to hear people laugh about how they're ghosting podcasts.
No, it's not even that. It's like, it's not the fact that she ghosted that offended me, I guess. It's the fact that they were laughing. Like it was almost like they were putting, and I don't want to say that because I do love Danny Donato and I know that the house does make you say and do things and, you know, it's sometimes taken out of context, but I mean, and I would say this to Nicole if she was in this room with me, but I guess what was so shocking to me was the way that she was going about saying it was like, it was almost like she was in a position of power above Nicole Anthony. And it was like, oh, I ghosted her, like her poor little podcast. Like I couldn't go on it. I was like, bitch, Like, she has been having Big Brother Legends on every week. Like, she's not sweating you not coming on. I don't know. Now I'm on a tangent. But it just, like, I just thought that it was really, like, it was the delivery of it that was just really rude. Yeah. So, I don't know. But then, the fact that she also brought Eric up in a conversation with Nicole Anthony and was bashing him, like, that had nothing to do with gameplay. And also, that's Nicole's best friend, who is a great friend to Nicole. And I don't know. Like, I just, if someone were to bring up my what?
He's no Janelle.
Yeah, if someone were to bring up my best friend, aka Janelle,
you would be so mad.
I would be livid. But it's like, it's one thing to talk bad about somebody. Like, it's, if someone is the game, I don't know, say, like, let's put, like, Nicole and David as a duo, yeah, or whatever. Nicole Frenzel comes to Nicole and she's, like, talking about David. Like, that's one thing because they're all in the game together. But Nicole is, like, talking about someone that's not in the game. And I don't know, I thought it was low blow.
Yeah. Okay. But, well, Kat,
I'm sure I'm probably going to get shit on for this.
You're doing great. Conspire away, bitches. Kat, what's your Instagram handle?
It's my Instagram handle is Kat Dunn.
Kat Dunn. Kat, what's your Snapchat score?
I only have Snapchats to send nudes. I'm kidding.
That way it's intended.
Is that why you had David?
I'm kidding. That's my joke about Snapchat. I never Snapchat. Okay. I do not know my score.
Me neither.
What is my, how do I even figure out what is?
I'm always surprised when people are still using Snapchat. Yeah. That's why that.
Okay,
was
we
such
don't
a
need to
delightful.
Forget the Snapchat score. Okay, forget it.
31,168.
Okay, you are honored that Kacer is using your catchphrases in the house. Maybe he has his avatar as Catherine Dunn.
No, but him and Memphis were talking about me, yeah, and Memphis thought.
Jenny, can you believe how many live feeds Kat is watching? I would have never thought.
No, she's like, she's a dedicated Ian Terry Stan account.
Oh,
like,
yes. Oh, yeah. We didn't, yeah. You know, I was going to let you go, but let's real quick. Tell me about Ian Terry, because I hear that you are an Ian Terry super fan.
No, yes. I don't know what it is. And it's not like a thing, like some people think that I'm like, like attracted to him or want to date him. Like, that's not the case.
You don't
at
have
all.
A Snapchat. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a, like, I've never talked to the guy. But I just think he's such an interesting house guest. He was somebody who I really didn't know a lot about before the season started. So as I was doing my research, I've always am looking up the Big Brother Wiki fandom page to know what's up. I'd also talked to Derek Levasseur to get his opinion. I was like, what do you think of these people? Because I want to come off as informed. So
wait,
Derek,
hold on. This is
she's got insider information.
Yeah,
here.
So wait, hold on. So that you were having conference calls with Derek Levasseur.
And McCrae. No, I because
and McCrae.
I,
and McCrae. What a crew.
No, it's weird. The people that I'm closest with from Big Brother are people you probably wouldn't expect. But because I, you know, when I started my podcast, and I know that I am a newbie and that I was a recruit, but I am trying to do the most research that I can. Because even living and breathing it from getting off of the show, I'm still, you know, so behind compared to these people that have been watching it for years. And it's different reading about it and watching clips. So I would, you know, I call people that I know that know about Big Brother more than I do. And I get their opinion of someone's gameplay and, you know, whatnot. So, I do my research.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to play catch up. But so Derek had told me, like, the whole rundown of how
everybody,
you know,
that was going to be on the season.
No. This is after. This is when it was before I released my second podcast where I gave my predictions of who was going to be on.
Okay.
Which I did not ask.
This was a podcast or this was a off air conversation?
Oh no, he didn't come on my podcast. Well,
he ghosted you.
He ghosted me. No, he didn't. But I just had my first guest on. I'm going to be releasing that podcast today. So, and it's Andy Herron.
Andy Herron, yeah.
But this was just a call. Like, contrary to what people believe, I don't just use people for clout. this is just a conversation that we were having as friends. Like, I was like, hey, I've heard that this person's going to be on. I don't know anything about their game. Like, like, this is what I have researched. What else can you tell me? And it was just like a basic, it was super easy. He said he's the smartest, one of the smartest people to ever play Big Brother. He's an under the radar player, but he's not afraid to make big moves. Like when he evicted Boogie at the double eviction. We had a conference call, I guess you will, about Big Brother strategies. I don't know. Anyways, you have to listen to my second podcast to know.
We'll check it out.
So I was intrigued, nonetheless.
Conspire Away Bitches, available wherever you get your podcasts. Kat, do you have any new shirts coming out?
Not yet. Okay. I do want to start doing some merch for my podcast. I also have a couple ideas. I'll read you one idea.
Okay.
You told me. Okay.
Let me see what Jenny's reaction is.
Okay. How about this? Live feeds made me do it. Live feeds made me do it. It's a Big Brother All Star.
What made you do what?
Have you ever seen that or heard that saying, like, blank made me do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just don't get the context of the live feed.
That's like, what all the players are going to
like. Order pizza.
All the house guests need to wear these after whatever scandal that they got tagged in.
Oh, the live feeds, being on the live feeds made you do it, not watching the live feeds. Got it.
That's not a bad idea. Obviously a flop. Okay, what about this? Original conspiring bitch.
Okay, that's good.
That's a good
I
one.
Like that. Yeah.
Another one. Too bright for all stars.
Too bright for all stars.
Okay. The star that shines too bright.
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying. Yeah. I'm just saying that fans could wear this while they watch All Stars.
Yeah. Okay. How about why be an All Star when you can be a legend?
Why be an All Star when you could sit at home and watch the live feeds all night and not get any sleep?
Well, Kat, this is so much fun. Do you still keep in touch with anybody from Big Brother 21, or have you broken out now that you don't now associate with anybody from Big Brother 21?
I still do. So Jessica Milagros, obviously we're close on the show. She's still one of my close friends. Plot twist, because this guy evicted me, Tommy is probably my closest friend from Big Brother 21.
Yes.
Me and Tommy, he's the best. He is the heart and soul of Big Brother 21.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps all of us together. He does a lot of planning, trying to get, we did that Zoom call a while back that he really facilitated. He does a great job of keeping people in touch. I was surprised that Tommy wasn't on All Stars.
Mm-hmm. That was another shock to me. It seemed like another slam dunk to me,
but he's
such a good personality.
Yeah, and he
loves the game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Him and I both have really, we always talk about how after getting off the show, we were kind of like going off that momentum. And we've been, of course, like researching and living, breathing Big Brother. I feel like him and I have that in common where we kind of.
You're doing so much research.
I'm weird. I did not make that great of grades in school. I know it's probably a shocker, but if there's something that I'm interested in, I can I live and breathe it and know every single thing about it. Like back when I was competing in pageants, I could name every winner, going back 20 years, every winner, every runner up, what the color of their dress was, everything. Like I'm weird. I don't know. I wish that I had that
name. You're a Capricorn. That they work hard. They do the homework.
Yeah, well, I do wish that I had all of this knowledge before I went on Big Brother last season. Next time.
All right, check out Conspire Away, Bitches. And Kat, this was so fun. I hope you come back again.
Rob, I will literally come back as often as you want me to.
Okay, all right, good. Well, Kat, this was so much fun. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, bye.
Right, take care. Kat. All right, Jenny, look at us. We're flying on the new show.
It's great. That was so much fun. Yes. And you know what? Kat brought up astrology before I did. So now the angry people on the YouTube comments can blame her instead of me. So it's great.
Okay. Well, I want to switch gears a little bit to bring in our next guest. That he is a longtime friend of mine, well over 10 years that this man, since he was a young Big Brother fan who would stan the Sovereign Six, specifically Kacer and Janelle, before he became a big part of the on-air talent at the WWE. He messaged me to say recently, hey, could we do a Kacer and Janelle-focused podcast? I said, well, how about some segments? And so here he is to talk about his heroes, Kacer and Janelle. On Kacer's birthday, here is the great Ryan Popola. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Jenny.
Hi.
How's it going, Ryan?
I'm good. Cat might be a bigger Janelle stan than me, is what I
think. Well, she's best friends.
They're best friends.
Yeah, I guess I'm not at that level.
Yes.
Very excited to be here on Kacer's birthday, guys.
Yes. Okay. Anybody want cake?
That Kacer on BB6, I believe, got like a PSP or something. I think that's in the works for today.
A PSP?
What is I that? Believe so, yeah. That was a PlayStation Portable.
Oh, okay. All right. I wasn't sure if that was something different.
No. It's not a Snapchat thing.
No, not PCP.
Like when the code for Enzo's crayons. I got some PSP over here, yo. Right out of Bayonne.
Yes. You can get it next to the Nipple Factory.
Right at the Nipple Factory. All right, Ryan. So, of course, could you tell us a little bit about, for new listeners, what is it you do over at The Bump?
Yeah, I have a few responsibilities at WWE, but my primary one is I am a host of our weekly morning show, WWE's The Bump, every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern, across all our social platforms and WWE Network. And it's just a lot of fun. We have weekly WWE guests, obviously. We have celebs on. We have Gabriel Iglesias coming on the show this week. And we talk everything from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and everything in between. And I scream a lot, and it's a good time.
Okay. But your true passion is the Sovereign Six, right?
Can I tell you something, Bob? I, like, in this last week, which has been amazing, I think that Kacer, Janelle, and Howie, but for the purposes of this, Kacer and Janelle, they are like my reality Beatles. That's the conclusion that I've come to.
Mm-hmm. Which one's which?
We can work on that next week. Okay. But I don't know if I've ever told you this, Rob, because especially when I was younger, I didn't want you to like judge me or see me in a certain light. But for a good few months after All-Stars 1, I had like a Janelle and Kate. They were like on my wall. They were like a poster on my wall. And like I want to be completely transparent because I do not want to come off as a poser. I have not watched Big Brother in 8 years. If you do the math, that's 14, which makes sense. I felt very removed from that. But literally this last week and the week of buildup coming in, it's all flooded back. And it's been ungodly great. We're talking about the nonsense. I don't think there's anything more nonsensical than maybe my adoration for these two people I've ever met. But it's really been a lot of fun.
What would you do if you met Kacer and Janelle?
I'd probably at this point in my life be very composed because I like to consider myself a professional who interviews people every week. But I'd probably hit a what up. And from there, we would just, you know, let Jesus take the wheel. But like that would be the start.
Do you have a favorite of Kacer or Janelle? If you had to pick.
Janelle probably because of just, you know, length of time on my television. I rewatched BB6 last week. I finished it right after the premiere on Wednesday. And man, she like, I'm not even joking. Janelle on BB6 is like a method actress because I don't think even back then that was her like true personality, but she is just such precise, great television. I was worried I'd watch it back and be like, oh, like, you know, yeah, I was younger and that's why I was really swept up. Nah, Janelle specifically, a case or two, legitimately just as, you know, the billing was not unwarranted by me, my billing.
Yes. Jenny, we haven't gotten your take on the sovereigns of Janelle and Kacer. How do you feel about them?
I was also a Sov 6 stan back in the day. I watched those seasons as they happened. And, you know, I was yelling, what up, Kacer? Like, I was right there with you. It's incredibly surreal to see them back. I mean, you know, obviously we saw Janelle back in BB14. I'm assuming, Ryan, that's why you stopped.
Yeah, I was actually
after that
night,
season.
I didn't even finish the season. Like, I was watching a Dan's funeral clip last night, and I was like, I think this was like the last episode I watched, which is kind of foolish because that's like, I guess, like a really big deal. And I was like, I'm out. See you
so
later.
So Janelle was gone, and you were like, screw this. But like, I'm out.
Yeah, I realized, I've been thinking about this. I realized that BB8 through 14, I watched every episode until I stopped in 14. But I think I was watching it on autopilot. Like, you know, it's like there was one episode where Eric Stein rudely called Janelle Miss Piggy and the guy was really invested. But other than that, like, you know, I was pretty much on autopilot the whole
time. I can tell these memories are very vivid.
So it's been the coolest part about this for me this last week is like right now we're in a period of time where we all can't like hang out with our friends as much as we'd like. And like as I watch the feeds at 3 a.m. Eastern time, I feel like I'm hanging out with my old friends, Kaser and Janelle. And that's actually been like genuinely like a very gratifying, cool thing.
Yeah. Ryan, tell us about their position in the Big Brother All-Stars house. That it looked like that they were a little bit on the ropes, but a big comeback and a victory in the safety suite competition.
Yeah, well, Bob, I think if we're going to make this a weekly segment, it might only be 3 weeks long. But this week's been fun. Mm-hmm. I was very pumped. I've never watched the feeds in real time. I was too young for BB6 and BB7. I watched on YouTube after the fact, and I would spend all day. But it was obviously always like on a several hour delay. So this is a bit of a new experience for me. But I was super jacked up on whatever that was, Friday or Saturday, when the safety suite deal went down. But I just don't like what I've been, you know, gathering the last couple days. I think, there's what, a 2 in 14 chance they take it on Thursday. That's the other thing, the anxiety of these HOHs, I very much forgot about. It only can be equated to playing you week 7 in our fantasy league, Rob, where I'm just a mess. But I'm looking forward and not looking forward to that. I think it's going to be an uphill climb for them from everything I gather. Even just today, I don't know how spoilery we can get, but even the people who I thought they had, I don't think they necessarily have. I think it's going to be a climb.
Ryan, for how many years did you have some version of the Sovereigns as your fantasy football team name?
Just the first year. And looking back, I really wanted you to think I was cool in 2006. And like that was the worst possible way to go about it. But here we are 14 years later. We've ran
talking
the race
about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like it really worked out for everyone. But yeah, it was just the first year. I believe the first year I was the Chilltown Sobs. I believe that was my fantasy football name. I went 8-5 that year out in the wild card round, but I went 8-5.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So do you feel like that either Kaser or Janelle is better positioned to make a run in this game?
I think they both will have a decent chance. I want to emphasize decent once the other is gone. Mm-hmm. I actually, as I read the tea leaves these last few days, I actually think Janelle might have a better go of it once Kaser is gone. It's been a tale of two Kasers so far, I feel like, in this first 7 days. I watched some of these like interpersonal conversations he has, and I'm very impressed. But then he does the safety suite deal and he's talking to Nicole A and he's just like, yeah, I'm a savage. These people don't know I'm a savage. And I think that frightened Nicole A irreparably to where I'm just sitting that she's talking to young Ian and saying like, yeah, I don't know if I really like this guy. I don't know if Kaser's like me when I'm watching the Browns. Like, I just don't know if he can contain himself. Mm-hmm. Whereas I've noticed a few quirks of his that I think are completely out of his control, but I don't think help people's even just like general baseline perception of him. Whereas Janelle, I think, has the absolute right tack. She's going about this the absolute right way, but it's just like Michael Jordan went to a pickup game and he's just like, I hope nobody notices me. It's like just not realistic.
Ryan, what do you think of some of these other contenders that are?
Well,
targeting?
I don't know most of them.
Yeah, I would love to hear, like, to see some fresh eyes on this Big Brother cast of the people that are targeting the Kaser and Janelle.
Cody Califiere, do I have that right? The last
Califiere,
name.
Yeah,
he seems like a nice enough fellow, but then at times he doesn't.
Wait till you meet his brother.
I've heard some things. I only got CBS All Access for a month, more than likely. So maybe at some point down the road. But we'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong. I hope I can re-up next month. They're still around.
I think they'd be okay.
I don't know. I just want my Janelle.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think
there's
might
a chance CBS might be going under in the next month.
As Grodner coming on after me, she can do whatever she wants to make this happen. Just get Kaser to the jury. It's his birthday. Let the guy live. I really like Bailey. Bailey's the one person who I could see a scenario that if they are both gone by week 3, that I keep watching the program because I actually find her very endearing, very charismatic. I like her quite a bit. The Ian Kaser talk yesterday morning really got me. I remember Ian from 14. This Nicole Franzel, I don't know. I don't want to be rude. I watched her on Amazing Race. I popped in for Janelle's Amazing Race year. Yeah. She seemed fine on that program, Nicole Franzel. But I don't know. So far, one weekend.
What is she doing that you don't really like?
I'm sure this is a common thing amongst the BB fandom. It's just like, would it be like would it be politically correct to say that she's a whiner? Would that be accurate? Like, you know, like, it's like, you, yeah, like, and I don't really know if I follow the rumor mill of what she's saying Janelle did or did not do, but it's not polite. That, like, I know for sure that it's not polite. I'm trying to cycle through. The problem is they all seem like genuinely, they all seem like genuinely nice people 7 days in, but Janelle and Kacer just can't like make a dent. And I like, so I'm just going to inherently dislike everyone. Mm-hmm. Memphis, he seems like a I don't remember him from, is it 10?
10.
I remember his face. Again, I watched every episode of that season. I don't recall it.
He looks a little different.
Yeah, but like, he's like triple agenting things, which just seems a
triple
bit.
Triple agenting
like,
things?
Agent Ting, like he's a trip, like, you know, that was good. So I don't know. I've Bailey has really swooped me up. Nicole A seemed cool until literally like an hour ago. As I, like so, I don't know. Okay. I don't have a good feeling.
All right. Ryan, have you considered turning your Twitter profile into a Kacer or Janelle Stan account?
No, I don't think so. I used to back in the day, season 6 for sure, probably season 7. That's when AOL Instant Messenger was still a popular thing. And no one in my life watched Big Brother. Yet I would make my away message all things related to whether they won or lost the HOH. I probably did it on the Saturday episodes too, which to this just must have been like reading like Mandarin for those like around me. But no, that was where I started and stopped with internet related sovereign paraphernalia and propaganda.
Ryan, yes. Do you feel like that if Kacer or Janelle does not win the HOH on Thursday, that they will be on the block in week 2?
Yeah, I think the only people, and it's a small list, who would not nominate them are going to throw it. And yeah, so it's like legitimately, what am I doing the math right? A 2 in 13 chance? I don't like that. Do they do the true and false stuff anymore? Is that a thing?
You don't really know what the COVID-19 Big Brother competition will be like.
I would like to talk to Allison Grodner right now. Just give Janelle a bunch of games where she can look at the wall and memorize things.
That's her strength.
I just don't have a great feeling. I think Kacer's really trying. I wish he would stop starting every sentence with look. It's too assertive. I think it gives people the heebie-jeebies. Like, you know, I just think that's how he talks. Janelle, and I love this, really just most of the time, 8 times out of 10, just really like someone will say something to her and she just no longer seems interested. Mm-hmm. So she'll just like not reply. And I think it's a hoot, but it's that's probably not great. They're the easy marks, right? It's like it just seems like, I feel like them and David are like free weeks and then the game will really start. And so I see scenarios, but it's like Desmond in that one episode of Lost. I just don't think the odds are great.
Okay. What do you think of the rebranding of CEO from the season 6 incarnation to now, where now he's sort of a CEO Kacer? It's a little bit like he's got a new gimmick if this was wrestling.
100%. He also does seem, the contrast that, he seems to take himself a bit less seriously these days, which I like, and I thought that was really going to help him, and maybe it will. It seems like, you know, it's very much like I'm watching adult Kacer and Janelle, which is a very cool thing. He's really trying, man. Like he asked Cody Calafiore, he's like, tell me about your soccer career. I don't think Kacer particularly cares, like, you know, but like he's doing the legwork. I don't know if there's enough scenarios that get them to even just like a path like 4 weeks in where it's not going to be turbulent. I don't think Kacer's ever had a day off in his Big Brother career.
No.
Like Janelle at least had those 4 weeks in 14 where she like was just like chilling out with Mike Boogie as they looked at each other awkwardly because of the Will stuff. Mm-hmm. Like this, like Kacer's, even when he's been HOH, it's just been nonstop stress. Like, you know, I was watching an episode of All Stars 1 last night and like it's the Comis boot and he's just like it's covert ops. He's like, Nokomis, we have 3 votes. We're working to get 4 more. And I was like, just calm down, Kacer. Everything's fine. We got 4 days until like, you know, Julie's telling us true or false. Like, so I don't know, man. It's very disheartening. I just hope all my merch gets here that I bought yesterday before they're gone.
What merch did you buy?
I got the Janelle Kacer 2020 shirt off Etsy. It seemed like the most reputable seller.
Okay. Who's making this stuff? Is it from Janelle? Is this
No.
Etsy?
It's not Tyler's girlfriend, Angela, is it?
I don't know her. I'm sure she's a lovely person. I maybe have come to a conclusion. Kacer may have a red bubble store. And I bought, because I bought a Kacer shirt off Redbubble yesterday. They're identical.
Is that his business? Was this a long con to get back on the show to sell the Kacer and Janelle merch? I've got the strategic vision for 2021. Redbubble, get back on the show. Redbubble, need a catchphrase. Steal everything Kat Dunn is doing.
I want to check out her podcast, by the way. It sounds really cool. But Kacer had some merch. He had a clothing line after All-Stars. I bought a shirt, never got it. Then my debit card got frauded. I don't blame Kacer. I blame the host of the site. But these designs are identical, and the store name is Kacer. So I think it's him. And then I bought some masks that say Team Kacer and Team Janelle. They're very cool. They'll be a nice memento for when I think
of
back.
The time. Yeah, it's like a time capsule. Like.
Janelle in that mask on night one looked like she was about to wreck house. I think she needs to wear it on Thursday and strike
the fear of God. Yeah.
And
what are your thoughts on Janelle in a punishment costume? This is the first time we've gotten it.
I think she's pulled it off impeccably. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a little confused. Is the skin tight deal and the star two different things?
It's like a bodysuit type thing underneath, and then the foam type star thing that has the lights on it goes on top.
She's allowed to only wear one at a time, I guess so.
I think as long as she's wearing something.
But Jenny, even that's caused problems, because Christmas was like yelling, complaining about Janelle breaking the rules and not wear, like, well,
if anybody's a follower of the rules, a real stickler for exactly how every Big Brother procedure should go, that's Christmas Abbott.
Was she the one who ate in the shower? Was that her?
No, that was the person.
She did vote from the hospital, though.
Yeah, she had the scooter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I will say, I watch Survivor every season, and I never remember any of those people's names even by the end. I've, like, learned all of these people's names. Granted, it's probably because I've been watching this 18 hours out of my day as I simultaneously, you know, work for my, you know, decently busy job. So that's probably why. But it's been cool.
Okay. Ryan, we have a game for you to play here. Are you up for that?
Sure. I love games. Okay. They're fun.
All right. Let's bring in another one of our contributors. Sasha Joseph is here. Sasha, how are you?
Hi, y'all. I'm good. How are y'all?
Okay. We're doing great. Sasha, that I am under the impression that you have a game for us to play.
Right.
Before we get to the game, tell us a little bit about yourself, Sasha.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm obviously Sasha, and I'm from the Bay Area, and I'm really excited. I've been watching Big Brother since 2007, and I even wrote actually my master's thesis on gameplay and game theory. So I'm just really excited to be here, and obviously this podcast specifically because I wanted to know how to be a crayon salesman. Mm-hmm. So I made it, obviously.
Perfect. Ryan, do you need any crayons? I know a guy if you need any.
I'm good for now, but maybe later. Bob, you also wrote your thesis on Regis and game in reality, right?
Yes, this is cool. Yes. Yeah, it's all come full circle.
That's swell.
Kacer and Janelle are back. It's brought us all back together.
Is it 2020?
Yes. Jacob brought us all here together, Ryan. Okay. All right. So, Sasha, I'm very happy to have you here with us. So tell us about the game that you have for us to play.
Great. So I'm going to have six questions, and we're going to play a game called Who Said It? And I've looked them up from their cast bios. So I've tried to make it a little fair. Like, you don't have to watch the live feeds. And, you know, this is the first time we're trying it. So, you know, just like Big Brother with have nots and slop, we're going to make our own rules. So our first rule is that there's going to be six questions to each. And I think we'll do, if you get to pick, like, you know, you don't need the multiple choice, you'll get 2 points.
Oh,
and if you need the multiple
Survivor history rules.
Oh, wow. Kalish rules.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, multiple choice, Sasha.
I got you. Yeah. And yeah, why reinvent the wheel, right? So we'll be doing that. So you'll get 2 points if you don't need a multiple choice, but I got you on the multiple. And want to make that clear, obviously we have six questions, so not everyone gets selected, but they're all iconic. So it's okay. We'll start with you, Rob.
Yes.
If that works. And then we'll go to Jenny and then Ryan.
Great.
So
I'm excited.
First question. When asked, what is your strategy for winning the game? This player said, utilize my multiple competition failure from their past season to show themselves as a non-threat. Observe the house guest alliances and manipulate others through a smooth social game.
I think I'm going to need the multiple choice for this one.
Great. So was it Nicole, A, Davon, or David?
Okay. Was that Nicole is choice A or Nicole A?
Oh, sorry.
A?
Nicole A is okay. Choice A.
Okay. A is Nicole A. B is who?
Davon or yeah. Day. And then C is David.
I want to say it's David.
Final answer.
That's my final answer. Lock it
You're
in.
You're correct. Lock it in.
Well done, Bobby.
Okay.
I mean, that was a good call going for the multiple choice on that one, because hearing the question, I was feeling a little ballsy and I was thinking Enzo.
I was thinking for whatever reason.
Because, I mean, it's, you know, he's never been very good at the comp. So
well, now.
I thought that, yeah. And that social game, like the nipple salesman or the nipple.
Yeah.
I also thought it was really funny. Yeah. I know. I thought it was really funny that David wanted to be smooth and manipulate. So yeah. Here we are.
Josh, you said you're from the Bay Area. That's Bayonne, New Jersey?
No. The Bay Area.
You live next door to Swaggy C?
You know, I wish. That is, you know, life goals right there.
Yes.
And then I'll walk down just like Bailey does in the credits. Great. So Jenny, when asked why they wanted to play Big Brother again, this player said, I want to play Big Brother again because of the money, the money, the money, and the money.
Oh, my goodness. I got to go multiple choice because, I thought I had it on that last one, and Enzo wasn't even an option. So I got to play smart here. Give me the multiple choice, Sasha.
All right. Your first option is Enzo. Your second option is Cody. And your third option is Bailey.
Okay. Oh boy, that's tricky. Multiple choice has never been my thing either, but I really felt like I needed this in this. I'm gonna go with Enzo on this one.
Oh no, it was Cody.
Cody. Yeah. Is Cody cash strapped? I've heard him talk about this, about that he needs the money. Ryan, has he talked about this on the live feeds? Is he having financial issues?
I think in one of his combos with Mr. Ritta that it's come up. It's not been overt, though. That also doesn't, from the little I've gathered of him, that doesn't seem like a very him way to deliver a sentence.
Well, yeah. I was hearing the money in like that New Jersey accent.
Same,
so
same season.
Yeah. I was hearing Enzo. It was Cody. So that's my defense on that one.
Yeah,
I know. To me, it sounds like Polly, honestly. That's who I think it actually is.
I do think that Cody's brother, Polly, has some other revenue models to raise some money that maybe if Cody is looking to raise some additional money from his fans.
I think Cody could make bank.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Ryan. All right. When asked what is your strategy for winning the game, this player said, that's a great question. That's it. That was the entire answer.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I could take a big lead here if I go non-multiple choice and get it right. But I'll go multiple choice and play it.
All right. Yeah. So Christmas, our favorite, or Keisha, or C, Tyler, or Trevor, you know, Tyler.
I've heard it both ways. Yeah. I'll go Tyler.
Ooh, yes, you're correct.
Well done.
Bob, I know Big Brother. How exciting is this?
Yeah.
This is cool.
Do you have any thoughts on Tyler, Ryan? I know you did not see Big Brother 20.
Yeah, he seems to like to say, hey, let's go to the final two to everybody and then do nothing the rest of the day. Which I think it seems like that's going to backfire at some point.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's sustainable, but what do I know?
I think it has backfired for him once before.
Where did he finish last time?
Second.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. He seems all right. He seems open to working with my peeps. So he bumped up Nicole A literally just like in the last 90 minutes. So he's all right by me. Seems like a nice fellow.
Okay. All right.
All right, Rob. This player said their life motto is, I'm the president, founder, and CEO of the Keep It Cute, Keep It Real Committee.
I feel like if I can get this on the nose, I could take a real commanding lead. Keep it cute. Can I hear that quote one more time? I'm the founding member of the what? Keep it cute.
I am, in all caps, they decided to put, the president, the founder, and the CEO of the Keep It Cute, Keep It Real Committee.
I'm going to go without the multiple choice. I'm going to see if I can put this game away. I'm going to say it's Kevin Campbell.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
That was very impressive.
That was my guess, too.
All right.
That was probably my favorite quote, too. All right, Jenny, here you go. I believe in you.
I can't win, okay. Jenny's eliminated. It's fine.
But still, we got you. We're going to try. When asked, what do you think will be the most difficult part about living inside the Big Brother house? This player said, aside from being away from home, probably being expected to look cute.
I got to go multiple choice on this one.
All right. Is it A, Danny, B, Janelle, or C, Nicole F?
I'm going to go with Nicole F.
Final answer?
Yes.
You got it.
Yes. Because I was going to say, like, I can't see Janelle saying that because she just, like, she's got that confidence. She knows she's always looking cute. I can hear Danny saying that, but I don't think that she's not mentioning her daughter and Dom instead, so.
Right. That's what
process
it was
of
really
elimination.
Hard
yeah.
to pick Danny's quotes.
Okay, I didn't lose completely. Okay. Yes. I got right. on the board.
All right, Ryan.
I have to go no multiple choice.
You got to go no multiple choice here for this one.
I know. All yeah. right. All I don't right. even know all these people's names. Nah, it's okay. I'll figure it out.
You got it. Here. Well, I'll send you some vibes. You got it.
Appreciate it.
All right. When asked, what is your strategy for winning the game? This person said, I want an arch enemy this time to keep me sharp.
I'm going to go Davon.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Enzo.
Enzo. Okay.
My fellow Italiano got me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sasha, thank you so much for the CBS bio game. This was much fun. And looking forward to talking with you more this season about Big Brother. Where can people keep up with you, Sasha?
You can follow me on Twitter at funsize_04. And send me lots of GIFs and videos of these house guests saying wild things. You know, it's my favorite.
We love it.
All right. Okay. Bye,
Sasha,
y'all.
Thank you
bye,
so Sasha. Much. Okay. All right. Ryan, let me ask you a question from one of our listeners. John Tinkham says, is the have-nots room reveal the most memorable boiler room moment since the WWF boiler room brawl between The Undertaker and Mankind?
I'd argue it was, it's a neck-and-neck race. The cool thing about when WWE's done boiler room brawls is that the doors have opened. So like that's because then you can see them. That's been cool. But yeah, no, it would be cool if Janelle straps on the mask and then her and Franz will have a boiler room brawl in the deal, but that seems like it would have, like they'd kick them out. But it seemed unnecessary that we needed to see the have not room on night one. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it seemed like that they were really trying to stretch the premiere. Like, it's like, why don't you go and look in the have not room, everybody? That'll be something.
Was that before or after the Bueller reference? By
yeah,
Julie?
That was, I think, after that. Yeah.
All right, that was a good 5-minute stretch when you look back at it in retrospect.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm now picturing like a Janelle and Nicole Franzel, like Willie Hance and Chef Joe moment when you're talking about the physical fighting. Who's headbutting?
I rescind that statement now that I think about it. Yeah. I think about it.
Okay. Ryan, anything else that you want to say about Big Brother 22 or Janelle or Kaser?
I am really enjoying myself, like, legitimately. This has been a lot of fun, and it is really cool to watch them. Like, you know, Janelle hit Kacer with that What Up Kacer yesterday, and I, like, Jazzy Jeffed myself out of my bedroom door. It was just, like, it's just been really cool. It's cool to see them interplay with one another. And it is, in a weird way, cool that literally, like, a few hours in, we were right back to 2005. They can't take a breath without, you know, just being, you know, completely everybody's target. So it feels very fitting. I'm looking at them as guest stars. I don't think this will last very long, but I'll enjoy every single second of it while it's here. And I hope there's reason and time to do this again, because that would mean I'm wrong, and I very, very, very much so want to be.
They'll at least be here next week.
This is true. This is true.
Ryan, so did you keep up with the winners at War?
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of parallels. If you still had articles on your site, there's a lot of parallels to, B-Rob and Janelle and maybe Kacer, but specifically Rob and Janelle this time around. And, like, you know, Boston Rob got voted out. Janelle spoiled it for me on Twitter, which I did not appreciate. And then, not that we know one another. It's not like it's me and Kat. It's just like, you know, it's just read it on my scroll.
Yes.
But that was like the night where like the NBA shut down. Like a lot of like really negative things were happening. Like, and
March 11th.
Yeah, I was far more upset of like Boston Rob getting voted out. This was just crushing. But like ultimately, I think there's some parallels there, like I said, because it's not a literal victory lap. That's not the right metaphor to make, because Boston Rob had a literal victory lap in season 22. But when I fast forward to the end of the season and he has that emotional deal and he talks about Amber, that's like a great moment that you would not have gotten otherwise. And like now for me as a 30-year-old man, as opposed to when Rob was on, I was 13. When they were on, I was 15 and 16. I don't look at reality stars anymore as celebrities or as gods. Like, this will literally probably be the last time that I ever feel this way. You know,
We'll see.
Only other thing close to this was that one time you were on the finale a few years ago doing like the cornhole game.
That's right.
Like that was really cool. Like, you know, I texted, I was like, that's really cool. I'll be crushed when they're gone. But I am very much, it's cool that their interplay with one another is still great. They've had a few really good laughs that have like really been.
What if Howie comes back? Is he like the George Harrison of the Sovereigns?
I feel like
the Ringo
should have just really gone all in, right? Like, I mean, like if you're going to bring both of them back, why not go all the way? I also feel like Howie's like one of the few people who should just play Big Brother professionally. I think he should be on every season. I think that's something that they should consider. Although I feel like in 2020, he'd probably have to change some things up. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think so.
I hope that like when they do, if they still do the goodbye messages, it's like, you know, Daniel Donato and, you know, Devon, and then it's just like Howie off his cell phone. That'd be a cool thing.
Yeah, that'd be great. Real quick, how's the mayor of Slamtown doing?
I'm not exactly, I hesitate because he slimed my co-host Kayla Braxton a few months back.
What do you mean he slimed her?
Literally, Kayla Braxton was conducting an interview with him and The Miz of Real World fame and et cetera, former WWE champion. And they were trying to slime Braun Strowman before their upcoming big handicap match. And ultimately, they slimed my good friend, the captain of our program. Like, it was like Nickelodeon. Yeah.
Literal slime? Like
literal green slime. And oh so,
yeah.
Yeah.
we're live, and it's like, you know, I must, you know, defend my friends. And I didn't find it funny at all. It was great. But he's doing well. Him and The Miz are in rare form every Friday night, 8/7 Central on Fox for SmackDown.
Okay. All right. Bodie is Ryan. Boy, can't believe you never changed your Twitter handle.
I still rap occasionally. So, yes. Like, you know. And Popola is very long, and too many P's and L's, yeah. So I think it's just safer. And I now have to just produce a rap song, and so that way I can merit still having the handle.
Yes. That's
the
have you considered doing a Kacer and Janelle rap?
I was thinking about it while lifting earlier, yes.
Yes. I think that maybe that might go viral.
Would you be able to help promote?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, sure. Let me put out, what do you need? Do you need anybody to help with the music?
I do. By the way, real quick, can I just say the Ethan Zahn Pokemon song was great. Whoever
yes,
did Wanda. That,
yes,
yeah, that was money.
Yeah,
singing
Bob
it for
with two B's.
Yeah, he's great. What a musician. But I would be open to something. I could probably do it a cappella, but I think it could be a fun exercise. I would be down.
If anybody is interested in collaborating with the great Ryan Popola on a Kaser and Janelle, what would be the freestyle rap?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a spoken word, like freestyle hybrid, you know?
It's very well done.
So you just need a beat, maybe.
Yeah, I like to rhyme words like very quickly, you know? Like, you know, I'm a dismember these instrumentals, won't settle to approve of my metal type stuff, you know? It's like all that kind of stuff.
You're like the Lin-Manuel Miranda of the Sovereign Six.
I've had a tweet in my drafts for years. You once randomly said I was the Lin-Manuel Miranda of fantasy football. And I always mean to send it out, but then I get carried away with other content. So, but it's sitting there, and one day, maybe
it's
tonight.
There.
Yeah, maybe tonight.
Okay. All right. Ryan, where do people check out The Bump?
The Bump every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on WWE Network, all of our social platforms. This week we have 2-time Hall of Famer Bret Hart.
The excellence of execution?
Yeah, we're talking to SummerSlam.
Canadian boy.
Yeah. We're talking Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Calgary's favorite son. We have The Big Show and Gabriel Iglesias on. We'll talk about other Netflix programs and other fun things and a bunch of other guests. And we have 50 episodes in the can, all available on demand, both on WWE Network, YouTube, Facebook, all the fun stuff, Twitter. And catch me at Bodie's at WWE The Bump across all social platforms to see what we have going on. Okay. And Raw tonight, 8/7 Central on USA Network. A lot of stuff going on that we will talk about this Wednesday.
All right. Great plug. Got to talk to you offline because I got to tell you, I got no juice whatsoever for fantasy football draft. And tell these lunatics that we play with that forget a draft on August 30th. I'm not even thinking about it.
I don't even think it's going to be applicable. I was literally thinking when I watched your draft special.
For this text chain is like, hey, lock your keepers in.
I think I've muted it. Yeah,
so
I think
bad, everybody.
I'm just going to pull a Caleb Zachron and buy one of the magazines, and you know, at least I made you laugh.
All right,
this was a lot of fun, guys. I really do appreciate it.
Great, Ryan Popola. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All right. Happy birthday, Kaser.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Jenny, how you doing? Good.
I'm great. Okay. Yeah, that was really fun. He's awesome.
Yeah. Here in the YouTube chat. Yes.
I know the wand off is reserved for Survivor and obviously co-signed by Josh Wiggler. But I'm just saying, I wish sometimes before I go to bed for a wand off.
A wand off, yeah.
You know, the BB version of the wand off, even just once. So, you know, maybe that's where Ryan comes in to shine at some point.
Yes, I think that the Kaser and Janelle, whether it's a diss track for Cody Calafiore or whatever it is, I think it would be huge. All right,
then you got to look out for Polly when he hears that.
All right, let me get to a couple other things that I had that I wanted to talk about today. So, Jenny, do you remember in Big Brother 20 that there was a whole controversy about how that I had a whole epic rant on the podcast that I felt like Tyler and Angela, whereas I thought Tyler was a great game player. I had him in the draft, was rooting for him to win, but I had not been on the podcast for a good 2 weeks due to extenuating circumstances at the time. And I finally had the chance to come back on, and it was in the height of a schmoopy talk. And I said, I thought that Tyler and Angela were boring on the show. And
I remember vividly.
Did I pay a price?
And I'm not the only one, apparently.
And I regretted it. And I was very sorry that I said that. But I thought that Tyler took a lot of offense at the time that I said that. But let's listen in on a conversation from the live feeds this week. Here's Tyler talking about how a way that he would love to be perceived on Big Brother.
Like boring seasons, like like Derek squashed the fights and did stuff, you know, so he made it more of a boring season, even though there was still some things like people don't like people who make things boring. They like
I see what you're
drama.
Saying.
Some people get really upset when they get called boring. I'm like, I fucking would love to be boring.
Wait, what? You would love it. Everybody, Tyler would love to be boring.
I'm confused.
Me too. What did I do? Here, let me hear. Here's some more.
You can tell me I'm boring. I would be so boring the whole time. If I win, I'm fine with it. Some people get pissed.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So do you feel like that statement where he says, I would love to be called boring if I win. Do you feel like that's the qualifier in that? Where, you know, he doesn't like that he was called boring because he didn't win.
So it's,
so you're thinking that if he had actually gotten the job done and won, would it be different?
Okay. So it's fine to be boring and win.
Let's go.
But if you are boring, if somebody calls you boring and you didn't win, it's like, well, what did I waste my time for?
Yeah, because if you're not gonna win, then you need to be getting something out of it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were boring and also didn't win, you're not maybe not getting the fans, you're not getting the paycheck. Was he potentially shading other people by saying some people really don't like it when they get called boring? Was he, you know, potentially referring to the person he lost to? I mean, the criticism wasn't reserved.
KC is mad that people called her boring. It's like some people get really pissed if you say they're boring. And if I won and they call me boring, I wouldn't even care.
I mean, on BB Twitter during their season, like Casey was referred to as a piece of furniture. And I believe Angela was referred to it as a different piece of furniture. Mm. So he might have been, you know, rejecting himself as part of the boring narrative and perhaps projecting more, you know, the other people in his life that maybe felt more offended by it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
So,
I don't know.
That was,
is he going to be boring this season? Like, was he boring because of Angela and him? Are we getting an exciting Tyler this time?
He was exciting.
Yeah, he was.
Like, first half of the season.
It slowed down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll see what happens there. All right. Let me then play you something else. And I just give you a little bit of a disclaimer here. Look, fans of the Big Brother live feeds are no stranger to listening to, you know, sensitive topics. We have dealt with a lot of stuff on the Big Brother live feeds over the years. And while this season has been relatively free of incident, we don't have a lot of the ugliness that we saw in the beginning of the season last season. We do have some contestants talking about the current situation in the world right now, and that is regarding COVID-19. And Jenny, I am beginning to think that Cody Calafiore may have some bad intel.
Yeah, I mean,
I know what you're thinking, that the Calafiore family does seem like they are probably very well tapped in on top of anything scientific, but perhaps not.
I mean, I don't know too much about their background in terms of their education on medicine. However, yeah, Cody had some flaming hot takes. They were, you know, properly quarantined prior to being put into the Big Brother house. And I'm starting to think that maybe Cody might have been one of the people that didn't think that was maybe necessary.
Yeah. Okay, so let's listen into a conversation that was from, I believe this is earlier today. There's some talk about, apparently, that we have Cody is going to have a birthday this year, like Ryan Popola.
Yes, it's in December.
Yeah, he's going to be 30 years old, believe it or not. And yeah. So Cody was talking about some vacation plans, and there's some discussion about, could he go to Vegas for a 30th birthday? So let's listen in.
They're going to be 30.
30.
Big. Wow. Oh, that's a big deal.
You go to Vegas?
30. Wow. Not in COVID.
No, you don't have a quarantine. No.
Why?
Do you want to die?
Literally that. Do you want to die?
Yeah, I like that his first reaction when they talk about, like, why not go to Vegas? Why not? Why wouldn't you do that right now?
I mean, I guess he hadn't thought of it. I don't know. Like, is Vegas not a place that you go while you're in the midst of a pandemic?
Mm-hmm. I mean, some people do, but he's like,
I mean,
why?
It's definitely, yeah, it's open. I think that Cody is one of those people that, like, once, like, you know, a restaurant nearby opened, he's like, oh, we're good now.
First night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So he doesn't know why people wouldn't go to Vegas right now.
Don't want to die? I think if
do
I
you care about life? What did you say? Let's not do that, please.
Yeah, Danny Donato, voice of reason here, like, no. Let's Cody, don't do this. Don't do this. But you know, he continues.
You don't know the
long term
effects of that shit.
Yeah, they're now saying that
sniffles. Cody says he could get the sniffles from COVID-19. That could be the long term. He's really, really a down player.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a little sniffles. That's definitely all that's happened to people that have contracted COVID.
Yeah. Okay. But we continue. David is going to explain some of the long-term issues that people who have gotten COVID-19 have experienced.
Oh, my God. Cody, every day he says something that makes me just like,
oh, yeah, Danny.
You're like, you're going down.
Oh, yeah, Danny.
They're literally doing research right now saying that, like, most people who have it are, like, showing signs of some form of brain damage and heart damage, especially in children.
Brain damage, what? Heart damage. Oh, well, children, really that's not good.
He'll concede that point. That's not good.
We don't want the children. Won't somebody please think of the children? He's coming around on that point.
However,
you're not fully grown.
Oh yeah, I'm 30.
Not yet.
I love it, the comeback of that. Danielle says, "Well, you're not fully grown." He says, "Oh yeah, I'm 30. I'm a man. I'm 30."
Not yet.
Okay.
If you make it, maybe not if you go to Vegas.
4 months.
You never know, man. Like, everyone keeps saying.
Guys, the coronavirus has been around.
Yeah. Hey, guys, the coronavirus has been around.
It's.
This is not the first time he said this on the live feeds. I was watching another clip of the live feeds, and Cody was saying the same thing. In another conversation of like, hey guys, this has been around. This is not necessarily new. He says the coronavirus has been around.
And so I guess that is the criteria for something not to be taken seriously. It's been around.
Yeah. And I believe that there are coronaviruses, but not this particular coronavirus.
He's not Polly, but maybe he's bred for this particular virus.
Right. So it's like that. There have been other Calafiores in the house, but not this particular one. Different ones. Okay. And then things get a little more heated.
It's not the same strand.
I understand
stuff.
It's not the same strand, but like, if the coronavirus is this wild virus that like could form a strand that like can cause brain damage.
But do you realize that?
They cut him off. I was dying to know where he was going with that. If the coronavirus was this virus that could cause all this damage to people, .. Well, I don't know what the end of that sentence was going to be.
I mean, as much as I'm intrigued to find out what the .. was, thank God for people like, Danny and Bailey that were there to say, no, because there are enough. And I think that they even acknowledged this in the conversation that it's like people that are like you that are saying these things are perpetuating people not taking it seriously, which tends to get us in a poor situation.
Yeah. So. I would love to, like, if somebody can have, like, some sort of camera phone footage of then, like, somebody, like, debating somebody's like, yeah, but, well, Cody Calafiore said on the live feeds that coronavirus has been around. So, like, if Cody said it. He also says Kaser, like Kasar.
Well, and this is the thing is so near the end of the conversation, I don't know if he misspoke, but he's like, I know people who got it.
Here,
strand, but like, if the coronavirus is this wild virus that like could form a strand that like can cause brain damage.
But do you realize that your way of thinking right now is the reason that it's so bad because people keep saying stuff like that and are having corona parties and getting it and I'm literally not, dying.
I wasn't having a corona party. I was being smart, but I could still have this opinion. I wasn't having corona parties.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure you could be still be smart and have that opinion. Yeah, but he did talk about how also that they said, well, you wouldn't feel this way if you knew people that had it. And he said, like, all my soccer players had it. Okay.
Which is concerning. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, as Danny was outlining, is like, you know, there's research saying that like the impacts on your brain long term are like, you know, this is a potential real thing. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but do we have some sort of explanation on like Cody's difficulty with the names?
you think that maybe that there could be some reason why that his brain is not functioning on all cylinders?
You know what? It was probably the punch in the face from BB16. Forget that.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
But that has been a thing. Cody has struggled with names this season.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can't remember. He calls Kevin Kevin, but he also calls David Kevin. So, well, they had such a tender moment, and he still put him on the block. Mm-hmm. And this leads us to wonder, did he mean to nominate David?
I don't. You think he maybe accidentally put up the wrong person in the house?
I don't know. He seems convinced, and it's happened multiple times and to Kevin's face. So I'm just trying to figure out if he is mixing them up, or does he just think of David when he looks at Kevin, or did he really actually mean to nominate David? Maybe he was like, you know, you're not really an all-star, and I'm going to nominate you. And he accidentally nominated Kevin. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's literally done it to his face. And he talks openly about it, about how he can't get it straight. Like, there's nothing else to do in this house. You're surrounded by 15 other people.
At least
I think
he admitted
you can probably.
It.
Yes.
He's like, oh, yeah, that he's calling David Kevin. And he's like, oh, you know what? I did it in the diary room also. Like, he's coming clean.
It's
about
fine.
It.
Yeah, it's like, fine. I cannot keep it straight, it's so it's fine.
David's probably like, look, as long as you're not gonna like evict me the first week, I'm fine with that.
I'd rather you mistake.
Don't learn my name for another month.
Yeah, mistake me as Kevin. Just don't be mistaking Kevin as David and then accidentally nominate me.
Yeah. In all seriousness, with the coronavirus stuff, though, I do think that they should tell the house guests, like, you know what. Let's not just like spout off your, you know, I heard from a guy that you can't even get it that way of like, let's maybe not just dish out the, you know, coronavirus opinions on the feeds.
Well, especially when they went through this whole ordeal, you know, you commented on it from the premiere where it's like, you know, they're about to be able to take their mask off and they have them in their masks on the stage, like very far away from Julie. Mm-hmm. So like, was this more about the optics and the message it sends? So they clearly want to be sending the message that they're taking this seriously. I wonder if, you know, it helped that they had other house guests being like, no, I don't think that you're right. Like in this opinion,
guys, it's at least it's been around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at least there were people speaking up. It would be more concerning if he was just going on a rant and people were afraid to speak up because you're playing a social game. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, this isn't going to be me that gets into the. But I personally enjoyed that Danny was just straight up like, every day you say something that makes me like you less. Essentially what she was saying.
I do wonder, though, could that ultimately, like, if they are like completely like have opposite views about like an important issue like this, can they function and work together?
I mean, what we've seen from Danny's game in BB13 is that like she kind of jumps ship if she doesn't like you anymore. And so I know that a lot of people are really down on her right now because she's not working with the faves. So this could be the beginning of the end of, you know, Danny wanting to work with Cody based on some of his views on things. So I don't know. This could end up being an actual storyline.
Oh yeah, I'm 30.
Okay. I think I might have it might have been somebody else's birthday that was coming up that was going to be 30 also. Confusing because Cody is also 30.
Oh yeah, I'm 30.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm 30.
Okay. All right. Jenny, what other things do you want to talk about of Big Brother All Stars?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I feel like we've hit like all of the points that have been, you know, keeping me laughing. The one thing that I know a lot of people were talking about on Twitter was, and this is something that you might be really able to relate to, Rob. David doesn't know anything about the Spice Girls, despite being 30 years old.
Wait, he's 30 years old also?
Yeah.
I'm 30.
Yeah, him and Cody are born in the same year, opposite ends of the year. Okay. And
not the same sign.
They actually are the same sign because they're both Capricorns.
Yeah.
But January and then December. Anyway, so it was like very surprised. There was a big conversation about, and I really enjoy the like cultural conversations that happen in the house when, like, you know, everyone, I love the game talk, but I love when we're sitting around, we're getting Enzo talking about the Nipple Factory, and you're getting people just talk about like movies they watched and like, and music they like and stuff like that, and just having real life conversations. So they were talking about the Spice Girls, and David does not know anything really about the Spice Girls at all, which is very, very confusing because he's born in 1990. I'm born in 86. I was a big Spice Girls person. He's in the age group of someone that should know the Spice Girls. It was very baffling for the entire house guests that were in the conversation and all of Twitter as well. So given, you know, the deep cut of you and Josh Wiggler not knowing the Spice Girls song on the Wand Off, I thought maybe you might have some.
It's one thing not to know a song, but it's not one. Another thing is not to know even who they are.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
But he was like, so which one's Chili Spice? And is there a garlic?
Chili Spice?
Yeah. He was like, who's garlic?
I mean, technically is a ginger. I don't know if you.
Yeah, there's a ginger.
Ginger as a spice.
But that was literally the only Spice Girl that had a name that made sense for the spices. So he was like, is there a chili? Is there a garlic?
Yeah.
So he's so pure. But again, I'm wondering, is David playing this up? Because a lot of people were really down on David because he was like, so how does the veto work? And then he reveals, everyone's like, oh my God, this is why you don't bring back First Boots, blah, blah, blah. And then he reveals in a conversation later to Dave on that he's playing this up and that he obviously knows how the veto works. So this might be long game from David, and that he's like, he knows everything about the Spice Girls, and he's just trying to play up.
He's just, his whole thing is, I don't know. What is this show? I don't even understand. Where am I?
And they're just going to be like, this guy doesn't even know the Spice Girls. So,
Cody is confusing him even more. Okay. All right. So, Jenny, I have one more thing that I want to do here today. We talked with Kat about how Kat was somebody who came into Big Brother. She didn't know a lot. That's why she really is a hit with the casuals. So, we have someone here today, one of our guests, Anna. And Anna has never watched Big Brother before. Big Brother 22. Anna is recently a person who has watched all 40 seasons of Survivor within, I believe, since the start of COVID, if not then from the fall.
COVID has been around.
Yes,
so
that is true. COVID
that we don't
around.
Know how long that actually is.
So Anna has now looked at Big Brother and is here to talk with us about everything learned from watching Big Brother. Please welcome Anna is here with us today. Anna,
Hi.
How are you?
Alive, honestly, is the moral of all of this. Okay. I'm alive.
Anna, could you give us your backstory of how did you binge all of Survivor?
Oof. Okay. So my roommate has been a day one Survivor fan. And as we were living together in the fall of last year, he was like, the new season of Survivor's coming up. He knew that I'd run out of shows, and he's just like, watch this with me. Watch this live. Island of the Idols. So
what a great season to
what a great opener,
you.
Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Survivor. Hey.
Like, yeah, that's my intro.
This is going to be your new favorite show. Watch what happens.
This is your entry point. This is how you're going to walk into this. This is fine. And I'm like, sure. Let's pop off. Let's go. Let's do it. you know, Island of the Idols happens. And obviously at like certain points, he was just like, you don't have to continue watching this if you don't want to. Like, if this subject matter is like not what you want to like be with, I understand if you want to tap out now. And I'm just like, you know what? My obsessive personality is like, I'm going to need to finish this season. I'm going to need to see how this all ends up. And so I watch it, I finish it. And obviously the trailer for Winners at War comes out and he is losing his mind. And I'm just like, this means nothing to me. I don't understand why this is a big deal. And then he was like, well, I can show you why it's a big deal. And I'm just like, sure, I've got nothing to do. Let's go. He proceeds to provide me a curated list of seasons of all of the winning games for me to watch, for me to understand how they get to this point, and then why it's such a big deal for all of them to come back and play. So I marathon all of it before Winners at War premieres. I watch the entirety of Winners at War, and we are dying, we are living, we are going through all of the ups and downs during it. And then he was just like, well, it doesn't need to stop there. Like, do you want to see the other seasons? Do you want to fill in the gaps? And he provides me the rest of the seasons to fill in everything. So that's how I got in. And now he's like, so now that you're finished with Survivor, it's summertime, it's Big Brother time. And I'm like, don't know what this is.
Don't know what this is. Okay. So, but you did not go and binge all of Big Brother. You didn't watch 22 seasons of Big Brother to get ready for this,
God,
right?
No.
You have watched two episodes of Big Brother.
Yes, I think what really got me in was the Mike Bloom, like Nick, Shannon, and Bryce.
The
casual cast assessment. Because I'm like, I'm right there with you. I have no idea who any of these people are. And that's all I've seen going into this.
Well, Anna, Jenny and I are here to answer any of your questions that you have. And I'm sure you have many. So fire away. What are some of your questions after watching two nights of this Big Brother?
I think all of my questions kind of boil down to like one similar thing. And it's just like, does anything matter on this show?
Like, anything matter?
Like, that is,
that's a very existential question.
Yeah, that's my question in life generally.
I kind of view this as like the Whose Line Is It Anyway of reality shows, where like everything's made up, the points don't matter. And it's just like, all of a sudden you're just moving along beat by beat and anything can be thrown at you at any time. It's not like there's like a specific structure to go with. Like Drew Carey is not there like throwing out like softballs left and right. It's Julie Chen essentially. But like everything is like coming up, and the emotional whiplash that I'm getting from watching the live feeds, just the concept of live feeds.
Live feeds also?
Oh, it's been a mess.
Committed.
Yeah.
Zero to 100 again, like, does not even cover it.
Yeah, you got to go all in.
Right. And that's the thing, is like also watching the edited episodes as you're like packaging things versus like the live feed, whole different world. My phone is now set up with like Twitter feed updates so that I'm getting updates on the live feeds.
Okay.
Like my desktop computer is blasting this because like I need information, I need context. One of my biggest things with Survivor is just not having the appropriate amount of information to sustain a winner's edit. But I'm like, with this, I'm going to get all the info I need, really, to figure out like how something is working.
And so, then you get to watch the show and be like, none of this is actually consistent.
Oh my gosh, none of it works. Okay. It shouldn't work, but it does.
Anna, so tell us, who are the players that you've gravitated to as someone who has not seen any of the original seasons of these players?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I didn't realize that I knew a little bit about Big Brother going into this, but I did. And it's only because of Davon. Davon's gif is like legendary throughout my years as like somebody who was on Tumblr, somebody who's on Twitter, someone who was like watching Vines and TikToks, like all the meme content. Like Davon is like a queen of that. And so it's just like, I've seen that gif of her walking into the door like a million times. Did not know it was from Big Brother. So she's somebody that I really gravitated toward. Like her facial expressions kill me every single second she is on screen. Also her talking to the camera, it's a miracle she hasn't been caught yet. Like I am in love with every second of it.
That happens.
That's like a question is like, I want to see like how long it takes for somebody to catch on to her, like talking to camera. Because I remember Ben's interview, like Ben's like deep dive. He was talking about like why he stopped trusting Jeremy was like he caught Jeremy like looking at camera after a conversation. Like that was part of the reason that their relationship kind of disintegrated. And I was like, is someone going to catch is Nicole going to catch? Is Franzel going to catch Davon like looking at like one of these things? But now it seems like they're fine now, which is just a spiral. Like, this is the emotional whiplash that I'm dealing with. I'm like, gotcha. Who's really with who at this point?
Anna, what's something else that you've noticed that you feel like that, like most of the other Big Brother fans are like the frog in the pot of boiling water that they don't even know is crazy, but you've been able to walk in and, like Davon walking into the room, notice immediately, all right, this is really weird.
Oh, gosh. Well, one, thank you for comparing me to any relation to Davon just walking into a room, because thank you. But in terms of like what I've just noticed is how quickly people can change, like turn it on and off, depending on who they're talking to. And the live feeds are really the information that's showing me all of that. So me watching Tyler go through each one of his final two alliances, like bam, 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 and watching him switch his faces, depending on like who's talking to him and how to play up to that. That's amazing to watch, like in like real time, rather than having it like kind of spliced together in terms of the editing process for the episodes that come in. So I've gotten a lot more information off of those live feeds.
Okay. Anna, do you have a least favorite player so far?
Least favorite. I don't know. I think the first person that's coming to mind right now is just Memphis. Because like, why is Memphis not working with Keisha? Like, why is Memphis so easily like ready to toss Keisha out? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't have that much of a personal connection with Keisha, but like Memphis and Enzo, like not capitalizing on these like old school alliances to kind of like do something and like really not entertaining them as much as they possibly should be doesn't make sense to me, because looking at like Survivor and looking at these like big alliances, as soon as you like try and hop over to someplace or try to like stir something up, if you're like the one person that doesn't have anything in common with them, you're immediately on the bottom of that alliance. So I feel like all of these like newer players are going to link up and they're going to bring in some old school like muscle in there. But as soon as it comes down to like them picking off each other, they're going to cut that out as soon as they possibly could. So I think that's one of the things that I'm just like, why is Memphis trying to like do this? Why is Memphis trying to not utilize those relationships as much as he possibly could? Also, I've been talking with my roommate about this forever, but and I hear he's had a better social game on his other season, Cody. What is up with Cody? Like, Cody as the first HOH and him.
I'm 30.
Oof. Like, just also like seeing the edit of Cody in that first in the episode where he's like, I'm gonna nominate Janelle and Kesar. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that they went to go compete for the safety suite after you gave them nothing? Like, you couldn't even like that was one of my biggest things, is like, he's supposed to have this like amazing social game. Like, it's what like really solidifies him, and he takes it to the final two. And I just, how did he get there if he cannot even convince Janelle and Kesar that they're safe and that they don't have to play for the safety suite? And then the edit shows, he's like, I'm frustrated that they're doing this. And I'm like, well, I'm frustrated that you didn't take the time to assure that they were fine so that they didn't have to play. Mm. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you're trying to lull someone like Janelle or Kesar into submission, make sure that they feel like they're okay.
Anna, I feel so sorry for you now, because I know how this is going to play out. You're going to watch 21 seasons of Big Brother and Big Brother OTT, and that's like 40 yes. hours of show. This is not like an easy binge. You'll be longing for the days of 13-episode Survivor seasons.
Yeah, three episodes a week of like a three-month show.
Yeah.
Right. Never mind. Like, I thought one episode of Survivor was going to be bad for me, like for each of the 40 seasons, but I'm in a whole new beast of a world. So yeah.
Okay.
Do you feel sucked in?
Oh, that's the thing. It's like, after I watched the casual cast assessment, I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this. I'm absolutely going to watch this. This sounds like a mess and I can't wait. I can't wait to see everything spiral.
That's why we're here.
Exactly. And it seems like everybody on Twitter is like, yeah, we're all spiraling. Join it. We're all going down the toilet bowl. Like, it's fine. Let's do it. But we're going to do it together.
And will you be excited when you go back through all the seasons, when you get to watch Beast Mode Cowboy on Big Brother?
I was really actually like high on Beast Mode Cowboy because I knew him as just Caleb from Go Wrong and like him and his friendship. with Ty. And I was like, that's so sweet. And then hearing about everything else from him and Amber and how that all kind of worked out, especially because like I saw her like in the casual cast assessment, I was just like, this is going to be so interesting. And apparently this nickname is like self-inflicted. Like no one came up with this for him. He just decided, which I'm like, okay, pop off branding. So like, yes, I am excited to see like some of these characters that have crossed over. And it truly just makes me excited. Like, why don't more like Survivor cast members like cross over into Big Brother? I would love to see certain people go down that road.
I think it's more of that the production issue of that they like to find their own people as opposed to like tape.
The casting methods are.
Yeah, it's almost
different.
I think there's like a sibling rivalry between the shows where I think sometimes like CBS will like force it down their throat. Like when I like make my kids like share a toy, like I know, like, hey, I said put this person on there and I don't want to hear about it again. Okay.
Yeah, the younger child in me just quaked a little bit inside just hearing that back.
Anna, who will win Big Brother All-Stars?
Okay, so like I said, 0 to 100 doesn't even cover it. So not only have I joined all of these Twitter things, I paired up with a couple of friends who are also watching, some for the first time, to do a BB Fantasy League. So I have my team of four that I've picked out. And so I'm banking on... well, who I have on my team is not necessarily who I think is going to win, but I think they're going to have major players. I think that for some reason, who is going to win Big Brother? Oof. I think it's going to be somebody very sneaky. For right now, I don't know why,
sneaky
but...
Sneaky or snaky?
Okay. So, yeah, we can go down the Franzel like rat coal situation in a whole nother time frame.
Anna, that this was completely misrepresented to me. I thought you were going to know nothing about Big Brother. You know everything. You're ready to be.
Yeah.
Like,
this is what happens when I deep dive on. This is what happens when I deep dive around Twitter and live feeds and just watching those like purely for a second. But the phrase rat coal kept on coming up, and I'm like, okay, I know that's something.
Yeah.
Oh no, I never Googled it. It was just like it kept on when clips of her would show up, people would just be commenting like rat coal underneath it. And I was just like, that's a choice of a name. Exactly. That's me just trying like, what is happening? Why is that a thing?
I mean, you filled in pretty much all the blanks.
What's going on?
What? Okay. Yeah.
Anna, well, this was so fun to get your take on Big Brother All-Stars. Where can people follow you?
Yeah, people can follow me at Anna T. Drummond on both Twitter and Instagram. I am just starting to now live tweet my reactions to Big Brother episodes and just general things on the feed. So you'll find me retweeting massive status updates and just putting in some takes.
Okay. Jenny, any other questions for Anna?
Wait, did we find out who she thinks is going
to
win?
I was about to say. Yeah.
I was like,
I think gut instinct right now is actually, I could see someone like Enzo winning right now.
Whoa.
Yeah. As of right, it's
right in crayon.
Listen, he can sell crayons.
Don't put me down for pen just yet, but like crayon is my original stepping stone. But I think right now Enzo has a lot of like wild connections that are actually like benefiting. And the fact that he's been able to worm in with Cody so quickly, love that. So it's not good for like my team on my league, but I'm good for now. I think that's a good one.
Do you plan to go back and watch chronologically after this, or are you going to?
I specifically am not trying to watch anything like during the actual like run of All Stars, but like once winner is crowned, now that Survivor's over and my binge of that is good, I am ready to start from the beginning of Big Brother. And
you can probably just start at 2. The first one is not the same show.
The season of The Office. Good to know. Okay. Like, everybody's like yikes on the first season.
All right. Anna, you'll be fine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
You the same.
Bye.
All right, Jenny. I think we've covered it all here today. Here, let me give you one more question from the listeners. Lauren Rose wants to know, who's the BB player of the week who's not even on the cast?
Oh, you know, I was talking about this with Phil earlier because he was saying, you know, Christine from BB16 disappeared.
Yeah.
After Basically after the season, you know, famously had a pretty bad exit, was booed, had a very awkward, you know, exit interview with Julie, and really just kind of fell off the face of the earth for a few years, and recently has showed back up on Twitter, and she's been hammering out the hot takes, and throwing all sorts of shade preseason, and is keeping it going as we speak. So, if you're looking for, you know, a BB person that is not currently in the house, but definitely has some vested interest in this current cast, having played with Cody and Nicole. Christine Varner on Twitter is just lighting up the tweets. The hot takes are flying.
Fire.
So sure. I don't know if you want to consider that as the criteria for BB Player of the Week, but she's back in a big way, I would say.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a fun thing to track all season long. Jenny, this was so fun to have you here with me for the very first episode of The Slop.
Like I said, I'm absolutely honored to, you know, be the person that you had along for this crazy ride.
It flew by.
Like, it was absolutely perfect. I'm so glad, aside from, you know, being able to be a part of it, I'm just so glad that this podcast is going to exist, because I think it's exactly what we need. So,
yeah, good.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm looking forward to doing it. Of course, if you see slop news happening, hashtag slop RHAP. And then we'll be able to track those down all week long and find the things that are going to be the things that we'll talk about on next week's edition. Of course, plenty more Big Brother to come. Of course, Taryn will be back with a live feed update in the morning on Tuesday. And then the LFC Roundtable Stockwatch edition on Tuesday night is going to be back 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And of course, we will have our live episode recap coming up on Wednesday night after the episode, with another episode following the eviction on Thursday night. So a ton of live Big Brother coverage this week, Jenny.
I mean, what else are we doing? You know, COVID's been around.
Yeah.
And so we might as well.
Coronavirus has been around.
Yeah.
Been around. What's been around more, coronavirus or Polly?
Good question.
I don't know.
Good question.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we have an extra, you know, that the coverage of BB is being a little bit more spread out, because I can't get enough of it. I want it all. So.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, where can people follow you?
I'm on social media at Jenny Autumn. Unfortunately, my Toronto Maple Leafs were eliminated last night. So I won't be tweeting about, we still have the Raptors. So, I find that I have like two very different audiences, like, and I lose followers every time I tweet about sports. Because I think a lot of people are expecting me to be a BB only Twitter account, but now I have like nothing else really to talk about. So, if you're interested in, my BB 22 takes, follow me at Jenny Autumn.
Okay. All right. Of course, thank you so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. You can make sure you subscribe to Rob's podcast at robswebsite.com/iTunes, or for our Big Brother podcast feed only, robswebsite.com/BBpodcast. And of course, all this podcasting here, the wrap ups and more, is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Head on over to robswebsite.com/patron to find more information about our patron podcast feed, patron community, and more. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on YouTube as well. Have a good one. Bye.